listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
The game of gotcha. This is very important work that the commission is doing, and the president and the vice president want to do everything they can to help the commission piece together all the information we provided them access to.
White House spokesman Scott McClellan. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, this is Sharon Stone, and I'd like to thank you for your continued support in the fight against AIDS. I'm the campaign chairman for AMFAR, the American Foundation for AIDS Research. And together, with your help, we can do the kind of cutting-edge research that is helping people with HIV live enriched, extended lives. But AIDS is not over. The current drugs are not an answer. More people are contracting AIDS every year. We need your help. We need a vaccine. It's not easy work, and it's not inexpensive. Let's not let this be our legacy for our children. Call 1-800-39-AMFAR. In the fight against AIDS, we've bought time. More research will buy answers. So please call 1-800-39-AMFAR. Thank you.
Former Vice President Al Gore has promised to give more than $6 million left over from his presidential run in 2000. Gore is looking to boost the campaign war chest of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry and other Democrats running for office. Gore says he's hopeful that the money will be used to fight outrageous and misleading Republican attacks. Gore has been keeping a low profile after his endorsement of one-time candidate Howard Dean back in December. Gore says Kerry will be a great president for all Americans. Gore was among other former Democrats. Democratic Presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter just last month for a Democratic Party unity dinner in Washington, D.C. The United States is preparing to put a new figure on the number of nuclear weapons in the possession of North Korea. The government is saying anywhere from 2 to 8, this according to the Washington Post, citing U.S. government officials. The Post said a new report on North Korea's nuclear activity will reflect that the nation's capabilities after its decision last year to restart a nuclear reactor and plutonium reprocessing plant.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions.
But not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass.
But not the lawn weeds. There's gotta be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooks.
And Dunn for Rad. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in, don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The following conversation is real. It took place on November 28th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Emergency, this is Morris. Yes, sir, I have the airbag deployment. I'll show you on 264. I'm contacting emergency services, and I'll come to you in.
County 911.
My name is Morris, calling from OnStar. Have a collision, and the airbag has been deployed.
With OnStar, an advisor will receive a signal if your airbags deploy and call for whatever help is needed.
I have emergency services on the line.
Do you have any injuries?
No, I don't think so. The truck is completely without control.
Can you be seen from the road?
I'm way off the road. I'm in the woods.
Dispatcher, did you get that?
Yes, they're on their way out there.
OnStar is standard on all Cadillac vehicles. 51 GM models in all are available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Cadillac dealer or Cadillac.com.
Would you like me to stay on line with you till emergency help arrives?
Thank you.
We should be there shortly.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
Hello, this is Della Reese, and I'd like for you to meet Faith in Action. Faith in Action means that people keep their independence. How? By getting help from volunteers. People of different faiths who shop, cook, drive, or just check in on some of the millions of Americans with long-term health care needs. If you're like me and have wondered how you can make a difference, volunteer with Faith in Action. They know how to use your time and talents right in your community. Even just a few hours can make a world of difference. A neighbor's independence depends on you and me. Faith in Action. Try it. Find out how good it feels at faithinaction.org or toll-free 1-877-FAITH-11. That's faithinaction.org or toll-free 1-877-FAITH-11.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 7 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, we'll crack open the presidential day planner, as usual, and we'll listen to secret tapes of the president at the 9/11 panel before it happens. Before it happens. That's all coming up right now. Hello, Sue. Hello, Mark.
Ryan. Hello.
Sue Ellicott. How's it going? Before it happens, John Orson. That's how good my bootleg guy is. He's gone to so many dead shows that he can time travel. That's how good he is. That's how much acid he's done. He can take his little DAT player and find a portal and travel through time, back or up, forward, forward, either way. And that's how we're getting these tapes. That's how good he is, Chris.
Nice.
Chris, our board guy. So, continuing a theme.
Mm-hmm. Acid?
Of problems. It might have been the acid, but I was not a big acid guy. I really wasn't a big acid guy. I was more of a pot, you know, booze, blow guy. The couple of times I did acid, I was always one of those guys that it was fun for like 2 hours, and I'd be like, shoot, how come, are you guys really my friends? What color is my head? You know, that kind of stuff. But, no, I woke up this morning with, this is a continuing theme of strange classic hits finding their way into my waking consciousness for no reason at all. You know what it was today?
Not You Light Up My Life.
No. Well, now I forgot what it was, but I tell you what it was.
He does mine, though.
It was Cat Scratch Fever. That's what it was.
Oh, gee. A real classic.
Like, I woke up with the Nuge in my unconscious, with the Nuge in my head plowing through. And it's weird that I was never a Nuge fan. I really wasn't, but I wouldn't assume you'd be a Nuge fan. I'm not judging you, but I mean, who really are the Nuge fans?
Oh, me. I was huge.
You were a huge Nuge fan?
No, of course I wasn't. Get out of here.
I had friends in
I don't even know who he is.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, I know.
Ted Nugent.
I know the name, but
you don't
know
who Ted Nugent is?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. How can you not know who the Nuge is?
Doesn't he have like an armory full of guns in his house or something?
Well, now he does. You know, he was a guy, he did, his classic was really Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang Sue.
Oh, God. That sounds like something on a menu.
It
I
is,
think
yeah.
I've eaten that with rice.
You have?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to leave that there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Should.
Thank you very much.
I've got a lot of catching up on drug taking to do, and I think it might be too late in life, but you know what? If I could just take 20 years out, I might be able to catch up with you.
Okay. I just, you know, someday you'll know what Poontang is, and you might want to...
Might want to retract, but yeah. I might want to redact that joke.
It has
joke.
Nothing to do with drugs, I can tell you that now.
I clearly need one of those, you know, White House 9/11 redactors.
Why are we here?
In here?
This is not where we're supposed to be. This is not the radio we're supposed to be doing.
No.
Okay, Mark, just to help me out, would you just carry on, one of you guys? Let's just leave that behind.
No, I will leave that behind. I wasn't quite done with my little talk here.
Go ahead.
I just want to say to, you know, everybody out there that, you know, I'm on the Dunkin' Donuts call. We're moving forward. We're hoping to get Dunkin' Donuts to bring me a box of coffee. And we're very excited about the show today. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to continue the process of diminishing the importance of our president at every turn and hopefully changing the world. Mark Riley, what have you got?
Well, we all know, I think we all know, except for the Swedish prime minister, that today is showtime for Dick and George. The president and vice president go before the 9/11 commission today, and Bush says, improbably, he's looking forward to it. The president brushed aside questions about why he's appearing with the VP and why the session will not be transcribed. Here is our commander-in-chief.
Well, what he's asking about is a meeting I'm going to have talking with this 9/11 commission about my attitude and the attitude of the vice president. About our country, our security, what happened on that particular day, what happened leading up to that, and I look forward to the discussion. I look forward to giving the commissioners a chance to question both of us, and it'll be an ample, it'll be a good opportunity for these people to help write a report that hopefully will help future presidents deal with terrorist threats to the country.
My wow. God!
The leader of the free world in search of a definitive statement.
Whoa!
Sterling performance at his last news conference. I mean, this is incredible.
I'm telling you, as I said before, my pity gets in the way of my hate.
Can we do that again? Please, Chris, can we do it again? I got to hear this again. This is amazing.
Well, what he's asking about is a meeting I'm going to have talking with this 9/11 commission about...
Get on with it!
My attitude and the attitude of the Vice President about our country, our security.
What?
What happened on that particular day, what happened leading up to that. And I look forward to the discussion. I look forward to...
What is he saying?
Giving the commissioners a chance to question both of us.
Oh. That was pathetic.
It'll be an ample. It'll be a good opportunity for these people
for
to
what?
Write a report that hopefully will help future presidents deal with terrorist threats to the country.
Somebody throw him a line. Throw him a line. My pity gets in the way of my hatred.
I guess it's a fair enough point that we should be helping future presidents deal with this issue because the current one didn't do a very good job.
Yeah,
that's
he can't
only
even talk about
he said.
It.
And continues not to do a very good job. I mean, can he say that he was this incoherent because he's talking to a Swedish guy?
I think he can start using the excuse that he's just, you know, because he's so incapable of putting sentences together, it takes all his time up just to think about how to talk.
I can bring out my Swedish phrase again. Ear du inte klipp.
Oh, that's
right.
Ear du inte klipp. Are you crazy?
Yes.
In Swedish.
Yes.
That's
that
what
Swedish.
The Swedish guy should have said, the thing I said to Hans Blix. Very useful phrase, by the way.
Do you know
everybody.
How to say, are you stupid?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
By the way, you know, George and Dick are not the only two White House people that are going to be in the session.
What are they going to have? Their coach going with them?
White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez and two members of his staff are scheduled to join Bush and Cheney.
So now it has to go through the two legal guys who are going to be sorting through papers. So it's going to be them leaning into the ear of Dick Cheney, who's then going to be leaning into the ear of George Bush. Yeah, a lot of fumbling, a lot of freaking out.
No. That's the end. And, you know, the bottom line is, this sounds like a deposition. Usually you have your lawyer there when you're being deposed about something.
Right.
It assumes that there's going to be some hostility in this thing. We, I guess, won't know except for your guy. Because none of it's going to be transcribed. None of it's going to be audio taped.
Yeah, if my guy doesn't get in there, if he doesn't get through the portal with the DAT, you know, which I think he will. I think I have a lot of faith in the guy. Maybe Bob Kerry will sneak
him in. Well, you know, the Republicans in Congress have been the point people in slamming the commission for being too partisan. You know, they went after Jamie, and I don't want to mispronounce her name.
Gorelick.
Gorelick.
Let you do it.
Gorelick.
Gorelick.
Yeah, Gorelick. They've gone after her. They've said that she needed to resign from the commission. It's a question. I have a question now as to whether or not the Republicans can make the charges that the commission is partisan stick. Will it stick in the minds of the American people?
It does.
Does it?
I think it does. I think all this partisanship just sticks. I mean, I think the stuff that comes out of the commission is fascinating, but it just serves to polarize people the way that they have been polarized for absolutely months. It is unfortunate that all this is happening so close to an election campaign. It's partly what I think motivates the investigators working for the panels on the commission to do such a fantastic job in you know, getting out questions that we want to hear. But it does polarize people.
But the Republicans, they politicize everything. And I think the reason that any of it sticks is I think most people, especially people who follow Republicans, I'm not going to say Republicans, are innately bullies. And I think that the empowerment of being a bully and being bullied is what appeals to them. You know, it's not... If you politicize something that isn't inherently, you know, bullying, it's different.
They just can't. I don't know if they're all bullies, but they just don't want to bend. They just don't want to hear anybody else's point of view. I mean, if you have a question,
isn't that what a bully is?
No. I think a bully is trying to force other people to submit to your view or to shout down somebody else. But I think this is a little bit different. It's just about not being open to anybody else's perspective, and it's about not changing your own mind ever, even in the face of facts and evidence and other people's opinions. I think that they're like that. I mean, look
but
at
the
this.
Nature of that as a political stance, I think, is I just always feel like they're bullies.
Well,
you know.
In case you question whether this is going to be partisan or not, there was an editorial in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about Bob Woodward's book, which everybody, we were all amazed earlier this week, right, when we discussed how on earth the White House put it on their website for a book that people should read, because we all felt that it showed Bush and the administration in very negative light. Well, the Wall Street Journal says that it puts the people who criticize Bush, the Bush lied crowd, in a very awkward spot, because it shows George Tenet, the CIA director, having a conversation with George Bush in which he told him it's a slam dunk case. The weapons of mass destruction are a slam dunk case. And Mr. Bush says, George, how confident are you? Don't worry, it's a slam dunk, he says. And they think it shows the extent to which Mr. Bush appears to have been thoughtful and critical about the intelligence, and that he told Tenet, make sure no one stretches to make our case. That's why the Bush administration has this on the website.
Wait a minute, basketball metaphor equals gravitas? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I say they're all bullies.
Go
ahead. Our exclusive peek inside the President's Day Planner right here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio. Our demographic is whoever wants to listen to us.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a trader. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover, because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Unfiltered.
I don't believe that President Bush does not go get Slurpees in the middle of the night. I'm sure you can do that. Yes. I think put on your Klan hood and you go. Nobody recognizes you. Right.
Crazy.
With a big straw hole.
Viz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
Can you imagine he's in a car with the Klan hood? Like, big gulp.
Through the eye hole.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
The Nuge. Are you kidding me? The Nuge on Air America Radio on purpose.
I probably do know him. I probably headbanged my way through this as a 14-year-old.
I don't know, man. He was like, he was a real phenomenon of the early 80s. And I had so many friends that were into him. I can't believe we're giving this much attention to the Nuge, but there he is.
Speak for yourself.
As much as I didn't like the guy, I ended up seeing him like three times.
It is now 21 past the hour.
That's how many drugs you took.
No, I just had friends that liked him. When you're in high school, you just get into a car. Where are we going? The Nuge! All right, man. Can I have the jack, please?
Oh, Lord.
Here we go. Today's presidential date book. This is, we take it right off of the WhiteHouse.gov. 8 a.m., wake up. Ask Cheney what to wear for 9/11 commission appearance. Burgundy tie? 8:09 a.m., start tying shoes. 8:26 a.m., throw shoe in angry rage. 8:27, have Cheney finish tying shoe. 9:30 a.m., begin testimony before 9/11 commission. Follow Cheney's cues. One kick in the shin for yes, two kicks for no. 12, lunch with Cheney. Steak, get tough on carbs. 1 p.m., resume testimony. Remember order of blame. 1, Powell. 2, Condi. 3, Laura. Not Cheney. 5 p.m., go back to White House, comfort time. Take nap on freshly laundered towels. 6 p.m., video golf with Cheney. Tell sand traps, this aggression will not stand. 9 p.m., bedtime. Ask Cheney about the rabbits.
Uh-oh.
Aww.
Didn't they invent Velcro shoes for people like George?
Yeah.
Someone should get him those.
I'm so bad at throwing. I wad up the pages of our breakdowns and throw them in the garbage throughout the show. And there's just hundreds of pieces of paper all around the garbage. I'm not a sports guy. I was never an athlete, really.
You're 0 for 3.
I don't know, man. It's just like I can't get it in the. If I focused, I could. But the sort of smooth tossing it over my head and the little layup thing, nothing. Get nothing.
Too many Shaq commercials.
I don't know. I'm just not a. We'll get into my problems later. This is about politics and culture, Sue.
Culture.
What is? You're throwing the piece of paper in the bin. It's about politics and culture.
I don't want the whole morning to become about my weird problems and my inability athletically or my secret Nuge thing. I don't want I don't want it to be all about me. I do kind of.
It's great. I kind of like it. It saves me having to read anything. I could just come in, have a couple of cups of coffee, sit here. I maybe even eat some of Chris's sesame seed bagel that he's not very happy about. Apparently, it doesn't have enough sesame seeds on the top.
Did you not finish it, dude?
No.
I'm going to have some.
Wow.
So, where are we going? What's going on?
Well, we're all focused on later this
morning.
Here
we go. I just got it. We just got it in from my bootleg guy. Came through the portal. It's now time to hear. This is like rare stuff because we got it before it happened. The Bush-Cheney testimony before the 9/11 panel, as it will happen later today.
We want to know if the White House was paying proper attention to the threat from Al-Qaeda prior to 9/11.
Thank you, Commissioner Benveniste. Be assured that the threat from Al-Qaeda was given absolutely highest priority. Absolutely.
I see. Were Mr. Clark's warnings heeded?
If we had known in advance, we would have moved heaven and earth to stop the attacks.
Yes, with all due respect, have the two of you rehearsed your testimony?
Mr. Senator, I take exception to that remark. Our testimony was in no way rehearsed. Prepared in advance.
That's the kick under the table.
What is that? Man, is that what's going to happen? I got to talk to my bootleg guy.
When you talk to him?
Yeah.
Tell him to try and get some better sound next time. There was that buzz underneath
them. There was a buzz, and was it?
That may have been the time travel part.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
That was pathetic.
Well, the thing is a lot of these guys, like the bootleg guys, they got to wear the mic in their hat. You know, it might not have been his best sound quality possible. But I guess that was the two of them in unison. Is that what that was? Yeah, that was that was great, man. I hope those continue to be as good as that one was. Boy, that's some funny stuff, man. I'm glad we made that happen. That's terrific. Sue.
Well,
what
the
you
jokes. Hey, I had nothing to do with it. Don't look at me. Don't throw to me like that as if I have to rescue this. But, okay, those of us who are not invited can be very, very glad that we don't have to go to Washington on Thursday night or Saturday night for the White House annual correspondence dinner. Because I used to have to go to these things when I worked for newspapers in Washington and when I worked for Reuters. And it's sort of Washington's time to try to pretend that people actually can dress sexy and can be cool. It doesn't really work, but it's now, you know, it's a big fight every year to see how many celebrities they can get to go to this thing.
I wasn't asked.
No. none of us. None of us was asked.
If I were on Jew Watch, I'd be.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, well, I went once for a British newspaper, and we had Nancy Pelosi as our guest. That's as good as we could get, Democrat from San Francisco.
How does it work? Each different contingent of reporters gets their own guest?
Yes, you buy tables. I don't know how much they were, like thousands and thousands of dollars, and I think, I don't know if they sat 10 or 12.
So the guest
and
sits
then
at
you
the
invite
table?
The guest sits at the table, but it depends on how important you are as the person inviting, whether they actually come and sit with you until the very last minute. I mean, Nancy Pelosi was just not there until literally the dinner gong practically sounded,
and then she sat down.
Yeah, then she suddenly appeared from nowhere. We thought she'd stood us up, but she'd been round going all to all the different cocktail
parties.
And
she's being paid to sit with you guys?
No, we don't pay, but you know, we invite her. We have to pay the White House Correspondents Association, or we had to. And you know how it goes. It was Michael Kelly, the guy who was the editor of Time magazine, who was actually killed in Iraq, who started the whole sort of celebrification of the White House dinner. And he invited Fawn Hall, I think, on the table.
The woman from Iran-Contra.
That's absolutely right.
And this isn't the same dinner that that Bush did the
No, that was
video.
The radio and television correspondence dinner, where he did the jokes about can't find the weapons of mass destruction, must be here somewhere.
Is he going to be doing some jokes this year?
I'm afraid so, yes. Yes, and let's hope they're a little bit better.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have a comic. And who else is going? Who got what?
Well, I have some late-breaking news, and that is that the Olsen twins, Mary Kate and Ashley, are not actually coming to the People magazine table. We had been led to believe they were.
Uh-huh.
And there now has been a retraction. But if you're lucky, you might get a glimpse of Serena Williams, Drew Barrymore, Condi Rice, President Cheney, President Bush. Will they be sitting together?
Of course.
I don't know. It's a Meg Ryan. Meg Ryan, she's going with Newsweek, apparently.
Meg Ryan and her new face.
I don't know. There's also a big competition as to who you... I wanted someone to invite the Dixie Chicks the other year. When they dissed President Bush, I was dying for someone to invite the
Dixie
Chicks.
No one invited them?
No, they didn't. That's whom I would have invited.
Now, this is a nonpartisan activity, I guess?
It's one of those, like, schmoozy, woozy, let's all laugh at the president and have a good time and, you know, bury the hatchet. And they're excruciating.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to these things, you just have to spend your whole time working out who has the hottest party. And when I was in Washington, it used to be Vanity Fair.
Right.
Everybody wanted to go to the Vanity Fair party.
Did you go?
I did.
And how was it?
You know what? There's a bunch of people
standing around.
Kind of laying.
Did you get wasted
dresses?
And do something silly?
Yeah, that's me, Mark. Yeah, I got so out of my head, man. It was just crazy.
Right on. So coming up, we've got the Dream Diary, as always. Joe Lockhart, former press secretary, and much more here on Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's a wait-and-see situation in Fallujah this morning. There's word that the U.S. military will be turning over the responsibility of weeding out insurgents in the city to members of the U.S.-backed Iraqi army. The army has had a poor record in fighting their own nationals. There's no definitive timetable on when the procedure will occur. President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney will have home court advantage as they face members of the nonpartisan panel investigating regarding the 9/11 attacks. Bush and Cheney will be in the Oval Office. The session will not be recorded, and both will appear together. Speculation has it that Bush will be doing most of the answering. Counterterrorist operatives here have a new concern. A published report this morning indicates that elements of the Palestinian extremist groups Hamas and Hezbollah are in the United States, working on fundraising and logistics. FBI has confirmed their presence amid growing concerns of possible attacks in the United States. And hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons is calling on his core constituents and major entertainers to come out in great numbers to stage protests outside the Republican National Convention when it gets underway in New York this summer. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
I'm a wife, a mother, and I'm on a waiting list for a double lung transplant.
A lung disease is threatening Robbie's life.
I've had cystic fibrosis all my life, but now my future depends on getting a transplant. My lung capacity is at 26%, so if a healthy, normal person would shut down three-quarters of their lungs, that's what I'm functioning on. As my health has declined, I miss some of the things that I love to do with my daughter. Bike rides, taking long walks, rake leaves in the fall and run and jump in them with her.
Right now, tens of thousands of people are waiting, like Robbie, for an organ or tissue transplant.
My driving motivation is my daughter and being there for her. It's hard to imagine a greater gift than the gift of life from an organ donor. It means life. I get to keep living.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. Despite President Bush's declaration a year ago, we're coming up on the anniversary of the winning of the Iraq War, that combat operations were over in Iraq, a fierce battle in Fallujah continues to rage. The total number of American fatalities in the war now stands at 726, with April the deadliest month so far. And there are more reports of the military's store of fresh troops getting thinner and thinner. What mistakes have been made in planning and waging this war, and how have they hurt America? Joining us now from our salon for our salon story of the day is Jeffrey Record. Jeffrey is a military analyst with the Army War College, a former staff member of the Senate Armed Service Committee, and author of upcoming book Dark Victory, America's Second War Against Iraq, which is being excerpted on salon.com. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
So let's look at the situation on the ground now. Is it what they call a quagmire?
I don't know that I would use a quagmire. That's a very politically charged term, and, you know, it could be people who use it can be accused of having political agendas. I mean, clearly the situation, the post-war, post-major combat operation situation in Iraq has turned out to be unexpectedly violent and chaotic. I think some of the assumptions going into this war were that there would be no post-conflict insurgent violence, and there would be kind of functioning government bureaucracies through which we could administer the country.
So they didn't know what they were talking about, in other words.
I think they made some fairly optimistic planning assumptions, and they have at various times admitted that they made some mistakes.
But they would never apologize because it's just not like them.
I can't render judgment on that.
I know.
Let you guys take care of that one.
Now, is it fair to compare it at all to Vietnam, Jeffrey?
I think the comparisons, first of all, I think reasoning by historical analogy is inherently risky because no two historical events are exactly alike. Certainly, in terms of the scale and the duration of the fighting, there is simply no comparison at all between the Vietnam War and the conflict that we have been waging in Iraq. There are, on the other hand, a couple of areas in the Vietnam experience that I think warrants study for possible instruction in our situation in Iraq. The first one would be our failure in Vietnam to create a sustainable, legitimate Vietnamese government capable of surviving on its own. It was an exercise in state building in which we invested enormous resources, and in the end, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And secondly, there is the question of the ability to sustain domestic public support for a protracted war that may or may not be headed towards any kind of visible conclusion. I don't think we're at that state yet, and certainly there is major public support for staying the course in Iraq and for even increasing the number of troops there. But I think, you know, in the end, we were forced out of Vietnam because public and congressional support collapsed for the war effort.
Jeffrey Record, there's a report this morning that says that they're trying to work out a deal where the United States Marines will pull out of Fallujah, which, of course, there's been a very tense standoff there for a couple of weeks now, and the Iraqi army will, in fact, be in charge of trying to pacify that city. Why do you think the administration is now turning to the Iraqi army, which hasn't been the most reliable through all this, rather than letting the United States generals do it?
I'm not sure exactly what the tactical situation is in Fallujah, and I'm not clear as to exactly what the political slash negotiating situation is. It's one of these very delicate, complex situations where you where you're talking and fighting at the same time, and I don't think I have enough information to be able to answer your question. I would point out, however, going again back to the Vietnam analogy, that we had in Vietnam a large and very well equipped indigenous force, the South Vietnamese Army, and its paramilitary regional and provincial counterparts that at one time numbered almost 900,000 people. And these were soldiers that were fairly good. They fought well on the defensive, and they performed a lot of tasks such as defending outposts and various sites and so on. So in that sense, we had an advantage in Vietnam that we don't have in Iraq. We don't yet have in Iraq the kind of indigenous, large, well-equipped, and well-trained force that can assume a lot of the responsibilities that we are now shouldering ourselves.
And some of them turn on us, apparently.
Well, that was certainly reported in the news, and I don't know exactly what percentages stayed out of the fight or turned and ran away, but obviously we are a long way from having the kind of indigenous force that we had in Vietnam.
Right.
Jeffrey Record, you're a former staff member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, so I'd just like to ask, given that it's been widely written that, you know, Iraq was supposed to be this sort of centerpiece of a new kind of U.S.-style democracy in the Middle East, you've written in your Salon piece about why the war was unnecessary but also damaging to long-term U.S. political interests in the world. Can you tell us, you know, why it's been damaging and how it has been?
Well, I think it was a mistake to have lumped together al-Qaeda and other anti-American terrorist organizations and so-called rogue states like Saddam Hussein's Iraq. I mean, I think that the war in Iraq was an unnecessary detour or diversion in the war on terrorism, and I think we have we risk converting Iraq into the kind of inadvertently, obviously, into the kind of failed state from which the likes of Al Qaeda and so on can profit immensely. I mean, we have plopped a huge American army down in the middle of an American heartland, and we are, in some senses, in doing so, we are playing to the argument of Osama bin Laden and others who argue that we are out to essentially grab most of the Arab world and so on. So I think, in some respects, the invasion of Iraq may well have contributed to al-Qaeda's ability to recruit young Arabs.
You meant Islamic heartland, right?
I'm sorry, an Islamic heartland. Okay. Arab heartland, yeah.
Okay.
Jeffrey Record, there are several thousand private troops that are in Iraq, serving different functions from security. In several instances, they've been involved in hostilities. Given the fact that there are troop shortages, at least we hear about troop shortages among the regular U.S. armed forces, is this privatization of the military function something that should go forward?
I'm really not very clear on exactly what role those forces are performing. I'm certainly they're obviously performing some defensive functions, and I'm not at all sure as to how much more costly it is to hire a private mercenary vis-a-vis expanding the army. I mean, I think there's general agreement within the defense analytical community that we are stretched very thin on the ground forces, and there has been a lot of discussion about increasing the amount of force we have in Iraq. And some people have suggested that in the long run we really need to add significant forces to the army. I'm not a manpower, military manpower expert, but I think that these are issues that obviously warrant serious discussion and analysis.
It seems as though it's getting harder to have those discussions, though, because there's reports in the British papers today that the top military leaders in Britain are really resistant. They're strongly opposed to taking over the areas of command where the Spanish troops are moving from or sending further troops. So what seems to be happening is that we are getting this kind of clash between what the military is prepared to do and what the politicians, what the government leaders say that they need.
Well, yes, and I think the military, by and large, are worst-case thinkers and conservatives in the sense of being cautious in approaching these kinds of issues. I mean, we now have the U.S. Army has 10 divisions, 9 of which are in Afghanistan or Iraq or on their way to or from. So the cupboard, at least the U.S. Army cupboard, is pretty bare at this point, and I don't know where we would readily get any significant increases in so-called boots on the ground in Iraq.
Yeah, Jeffrey Record, the author of Dark Victory, America's Second War Against Iraq. And I ask you one last question. Does the fact that the war has boosted al-Qaeda recruitment, as you said, mean that the war has made us less safe than more safe?
I don't know. I think that's a hard question to answer simply because I don't know how you measure success against al-Qaeda.
Well, how do you feel personally?
Well, we have not been struck since September 11th. That's we're approaching the third anniversary of that. I guess that's very good news. I don't know the reason for that.
What do you think of the president constantly reminding us that we might get attacked and that there's a real good chance we're going to get attacked and that it's inevitable we're going to get attacked?
Well, I think it's certainly wise to err on the side of caution, and given the objectives and the style of operation of al-Qaeda, I think if I were president, I would be warning Americans that don't take this three-year hiatus here for granted, that these guys are working to strike us again, and at some point they will. We just are not in a position to determine when and where that's going to take place.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Jeffrey Record, military analyst with the Army War College, former staff member of the Senate Armed Service Committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, great having you. Wow, that was pretty interesting. On some level, it seems that we're all, still pretty frightened.
Mm-hmm.
We've got my dream diary up ahead. We want to know whether you agree with Jeffrey Record. So please, call us up, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AARZ. I'm not pleading with you, but it'd be nice to talk to you. Was the war misplanned? We'll put you on the line. Just call us right here on Air America Radio.
America Radio. The backlash against the backlash against probably another backlash.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Are people stealing parking spaces? Literally stealing them to cheat you out of parking? Eyewitness News exposes the sneakiest parking trick yet. Plus at 6 o'clock, Eyewitness News catches hospitals breaking the law, possibly putting you at risk.
You go into a hospital, it's not supposed to be dangerous to your health.
An Eyewitness News investigation you can't miss. It all starts with Diana Williams and Sade Baranwa. Today at 5 on Eyewitness News, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. Her first interview as First Lady, Maria Shriver.
I had been in the political life. I was like, I'm going to find me a man who is never going to run. And whammo, I'm right back where I started.
What has been the biggest difference?
Well, the biggest difference is I lost my job.
What's the real story? Did you quit? What happened?
My friend, Maria Shriver. What a hoot. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson-Farad, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A
public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Some mothers and daughters bond. Others are crazy glued. And now there's a new play about mothers and daughters that'll bring you to tears of laughter from door to door. The Daily News Raids from door to door is hilarious and deeply moving. It weaves the stories of three generations of Jewish women together with great artfulness. From door to door is a funny and heartfelt play that stirs up 65 years of family secrets and surprises. From the Cossacks to Ellis Island, from overmothering to single parenting, the Journal News calls From Door to Door a sweet play that glows with love and timeless values. It's beautifully performed, cheers the New York Post, and the Star Ledger applauds. It's like plunging into a bowl of your grandma's chicken noodle soup. See From Door to Door by James Sherman, directed by Joe Brancato at the West Side Theater. Call telecharge.com 212-239-6200. WOR's Joan Hamburg says you'll enjoy it from door to door.
The Majority Report.
I just got an email that a friend of mine saw a search string. He's an IT guy. And somebody was looking up Sam Cedar, drug addiction and convictions.
Right, and it's for all we know, it's some right-wing guy that's going to, like, leak a story
well,
to try and just...
I have been busted for public urination and for riding my bike through a red light in New York City. And here's the worst part. I was doing them simultaneously.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Mark, I didn't know you wanted a slow dance with me.
That's the song I was talking about yesterday. That's the album that's it. So I'm Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition at 6:47. I mean 47 past the hour, depending where you are.
That is a cheesy song.
It was a great song at the time. 866-303-2270 is our number. 866-303-0. There you go. That's the number. Right now, though, it is time for, as you know, my therapist has instructed me to keep a diary of my dreams, and I'm now taking melatonin at night. So they're getting even weirder because I took two last night, man.
Wait a minute. You know what? Before you start this,
yeah.
I have a request.
Okay.
Instead of playing the usual dream diary music, why don't we do Elvin Bishop underneath this? Since Elvin's such a big part of your life.
Just hearing that, Elvin Bishop. That's up to the booth.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. My dream. I'm in front of a Senate committee hearing, and there are like a million hot lights burning down on me. I'm wearing a suit, which is like four sizes too big, and a tie that's three sizes too small, all right? I'm holding a chihuahua, which is also wearing a suit that's too big, all right? and a striped party hat. You know, me and the dog are both wearing party hats. Suddenly, this huge voice from somewhere inside the light says, "Do you promise to tell the whole truth, so help you God. I got my hand up, and I say, "Yeah, whatever. Don't hurt me. I have to get up really early, man." And the voice comes back. "Can you account for your whereabouts on the morning of September 10th, 2001? So I can feel my forehead start to freckle under the lights and then tan and then burn and sizzle like bacon. I smell like breakfast and I'm hungry. No, well, I don't know. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know there was going to be a test today. I said, I thought that..." And okay. Then the voice goes, "Please..." But all I can see is a silhouette. "The American people deserve an answer, but this is about this serious matter. Is everything a joke to you, Mr. Maron?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, kind of it is. Not everything, but a lot of things. I mean, I exchange a meaningful glance with the chihuahua. He understands. Good dog." The voice comes back. "I hope you're not wasting this committee's time." And the silhouette comes into the light, and it's Sue Ellicott. The senator from the great state of my subconscious. And I say, "Sue, we're not supposed to be here. We're just waiting for that PSA with Aerosmith to be over." But then you melt it into a purple mist, and I'm in the Grand Canyon eating my cooked forehead on a roll. I woke up, and my bed was filled with scrambled eggs and grapefruit. What is that about?
Yeah, and Marmite.
What is that? Marmite. Very good. I kind of know what that is. That's some sort of weird British breakfast spread. Isn't it like
it's a salty yeast thing. It's a yeast extract.
It's like brown and it's salty and it's got lard and yeast
in it. It's manna from heaven if you're British.
Is it the same
as pure filth if you're not?
Do you like it?
I love it.
Is it
are you kidding?
Is it the same as Vegemite?
Much, much better.
Oh, okay. So it's different.
They're the Australians. They
give us a call. Oh, yeah. I've had that, too. 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're going to Kristen in Manhattan. Hi, Kristen.
So I've been reading the Bob Woodward book.
Okay.
And something really stood out to me yesterday
mm-hmm.
that just seemed to be, like, not made a big deal in the book, but in 2002, after the Afghanistan war was well underway and kind of, I guess, winding down, Rumsfeld, apparently, in his national security meetings, was always, when they came to him with the war plan for Afghanistan, he
right.
was very, he, like, complained that there weren't enough targets because this country's so, you know, in such a state of poverty. And then when they came to him with the war plans for Iraq, or, you know, the developing war plans in 2002, he was excited because there were so many targets.
Right, a lot more people to kill there.
Exactly. It's, I mean, it's really...
We could really have a good time with this one, he thought.
Yeah, exactly. It was really, like, revealing about these people that are... You know,
no respect for human life and just, you know, heinous sort of opportunists on a global level.
You right. mean that he meant it was they could be more effective in achieving their goals, or they had just loads of military toys and weaponry they wanted to deploy?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did they just think there were loads more there were loads of targets and they could be effective, or was it just, you know, that he really wanted to be able to use all the military weaponry and tanks and, you know, all that stuff that the military buys?
Yeah, well, the sense I got from it, because... I mean, if it was just about, you know, being able to accomplish a mission, I would think that if he looked at the Afghanistan, and which was clearly demolished pretty quickly, I mean, you know, seeing that there just weren't enough things to target, I would think would be like, hey, this will be really easy to, you know, destroy pretty quickly and we'll be on good ground.
And then Cheney said, hey, maybe we can do both. Yeah. Why don't we just do both? Thanks a lot for your call, Kristen.
Yeah, thanks.
Dimitri in Vermont, how are you?
I just wanted to make a comment about the gentleman that you had on earlier.
Yes.
He was speaking about Al-Qaeda's recruitment. And I think as a nation, we forget that Iraqis and Afghanis love their children and their wives. And when they see people in their families destroyed,
yes.
that's something you can't forget. And if you ask this to your own spouse, what would you do? You have your answer right there, and I think it's a really, really clouded view we have as Americans that something isn't going to come back and bite us in the butt.
I think you're right. Thank you, Demetria. It's like we don't often, you know, sort of assess the human cost on a very emotional level. I think we're all guilty of that. The number is 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. And because of that, that emotional loss and that horrendous atrocity of war, we've sort of helped create a terrorist manufacturing plant in Iraq. Yeah, Mark Rowdy.
Well, she makes an important point when you look at these stories that are breaking this morning in terms of using the Iraqi army to pacify an Iraqi city.
Mm-hmm.
If the Iraqis, and we've seen situations already where they don't want to shoot each other.
Well, that's the thing. They're just sending the guys in. They're like, they're going to go take care of it. And all these guys are going to be like, new guns for you guys.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem like a winning strategy, but then nothing they've done seems like a winning strategy.
Yeah, right. They don't see anything that's palatable right now.
Tom in San Diego, what's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the fact that, you know, President Cheney are going to be...
Did you say President Cheney?
No, the President comment.
And Cheney.
It would have been
I realize right. they're closely connected, but they're not quite the same.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen Cheney drink water when Bush speaks. I'm still wondering about that.
They're doing that trick today.
Oh, I hope so. I want to see that one. That and where does he put his... Well, never mind.
So what's your? What were you going to say?
Well, yeah, if I... Last time I checked, I thought that the president and vice president worked for the people, you know, us,
yes.
taxpayers.
Supposedly.
Well, yeah. If I ever get subpoenaed by Congress, I'm going to tell them, look, you get an hour, maybe two if it's a boring day, but you're buying lunch. Because you work for me. Don't you forget that.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Alex, what's going on?
You know, things are going so well, according to Rumsfeld in Iraq.
If he was the captain on the Titanic, he'd say, don't worry, we're just taking on some crushed ice for the bar.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. What's up, Sue?
I just wanted to just go back a little bit to what Demetria said and about the Iraqi people being kind of so angry and the kind of the emotional and human toll of losing family members. And that is that, you know, increasingly this week there are reports coming out from reporters in Iraq that people there are, you know, much, much angrier. There's been kind of rising kind of anger, and that they are very concerned about security, and they the reason this has escalated to the point that it has this week with the U.S. Military launching attacks on Fallujah is that it's come to a point where the military and the Marines really want to clamp down. And they think they started this job and they want to finish it. But yet they're meeting this resistance because the Iraqis are just more and more angry, and that it's going to create more and more insurgency and rebellion if they do that. So I think they are at a really kind of crucial point. I'm glad, though, to see. Did anybody else see this CBS stuff that the U.S. soldiers who are accused of atrocities against Iraqi captives? I think, you know, we have to hope that the U.S. military really kind of nip this in the bud straight away, and that they kind of bring these people to justice, they figure out what happened, and that the Iraqi people know that.
Didn't the people that actually brought this to light were also service people, right?
Yes, it came out in the, I think, the Army. The
courageous
Army investigated
people.
And that there were photographs. Yeah, and they have said, the U.S. Army, to be fair to the U.S. Army, they have said that, you know, we want to, you know, these are a few bad people, we don't want that to detract from the kind of overall kind of good performance by the U.S. military, but it's a very smart thing to make sure that the Iraqi people know that Americans who have been unfair, who have perhaps committed atrocities, are brought to justice, and that this is not an anti-Iraqi thing that's pervasive in the U.S. military.
Well, that takes some serious nads on behalf of those soldiers to sort of.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, Mike in Long Island? What's up?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm okay, buddy.
I just have before I. Asked the question. I have to ask Sue, what time was that story on CBS yesterday? Because I was watching the 6:30 news with Dan Rather. I didn't see it.
No, I think it's that they promoted it. It's going to be on 60 Minutes 2, I think. Is that tonight? Or was it last night? Wednesday.
No, I think 60 Minutes 2 was last night.
60 Minutes 2 is Wednesday. Sorry. I never know what day of the week it is on this show. It's Thursday today, and it was last night, Wednesday.
What's your question, Mike? Nope, we lost
that. Was
that's all
question,
he wanted to know.
Yeah.
No, he said he wanted to ask you that before he asked the question. And then we rudely hung up on him.
Nipped him in the bud.
Yeah, man.
Well, maybe he'll call back.
Well, by the way, you know, the whole thing with Rumsfeld, you know, people ought to pay close attention to also, because Rumsfeld, as defense secretary, has always believed that warfare could be conducted with a minimum of ground troops. That's been his mantra since the day he walked in the door.
That's because they're too reliant on military hardware and all the technological stuff. It doesn't work in a place like Iraq.
They just wanted to run it from a pod.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. Push a button, blow something up, but it hasn't worked. Coming up, former Clinton press boss Joe Lockhart on today's big 9/11 session. Plus, the morning devotional and the White House braces for yet another bad news book. All ahead here on Air America Radio.
Most people associate sickness with old age, so getting sick was very hard for me. It's hard for any young person.
At the age of 39, a kidney transplant saved Derek's life.
After my kidney started to fail, you know, I couldn't even play basketball with my son, throw the football with him, and just no energy. I just wasn't able to do the things that I used to do. My mother, you know, had the same kidney disease, and it was hard for my kids to lose their grandmother to the same disease that they knew their father had. Since I have a transplant now, I can walk my dog, I can shoot basketball, so many things I can do. I can go to the park with my family. You know, we lost a lot of time just living, you know, just the everyday life, simple things, you know, we just couldn't do. I hope that I can make that time up, you know. Get a chance to live again.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to www.donatelife.net.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
In
In the next hour of Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio, we'll go to Recovery Corner, and former Clinton spokesman Joe Lockhart will help us preview President Bush's 9/11 testimony. I meant non-testimony, but first, here are the headlines.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Forget about Al-Qaeda. The FBI says the Palestinian extremist groups Hamas and Hezbollah already have a presence in the United States and may be planning to carry out threats once waged by the late Hamas leader Ahmed al-Rantisi. You may recall shortly after Rantisi's assassination, it says his Palestinian supporters vowed retaliations against Israel and the United States. Rantisi himself said President Bush and Prime Minister Ariel Sharon of Israel were enemies of God, and that God declared war on America. The FBI, based on a published report this morning, says some 50 to 100 operatives of Hamas and Hezbollah are in the United States. The feds say they are engaged in fundraising and logistics. They also say they've received military training from Lebanon and other Middle Eastern countries. In Iraq, the situation in Fallujah is swiftly changing. Marines are now packing up their gear and loading heavy trucks in the sign of a pullout. Reports say they've been ordered to leave the southern industrial zone. This development comes on the heels of early reports that the U.S. military was turning over the responsibility of flushing out insurgents to the Iraqi army. That army has had a poor history of fighting fellow nationals. Some of the Marines moving out of Fallujah have had orders to go to the nearby village of Garma. New poll numbers today on the level of support for war in both the U.S. and Iraq. A New York Times CBS poll asked Americans whether the United States had done the right thing in taking military action against Iraq. 47% of the respondents said yes, down from 58% a month earlier and 63% in December, just after American forces captured Saddam Hussein. A CNN USA Today Gallup poll in Iraq in March and April found that nearly half of the Iraqis felt the war had done more harm than good, but 61 felt that the ouster of Saddam Hussein made it worthwhile. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4, and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers, so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
The House voted yesterday to permanently reduce the so-called marriage penalty. Republicans and Democrats generally tried to outdo one another in defending tax cuts for two-income families, but some, like Tennessee Democrat John Tanner, had harsh words for tax cutters. The bill passed 323-95 and now goes to the Senate. We apologize for that electrical transcription there. We'll get back to Tanner of the later newscast. The Bush administration is working to make AIDS drugs more easily available in developing countries, according to the Wall Street Journal. Hoping to calm a controversy over how it spends billions of dollars earmarked for AIDS, the administration is trying to develop a speedy approval process for inexpensive foreign-made treatments. For now, recipients of the U.S. funds are being told to buy only products from brand-name pharmaceutical makers who have opposed the use of cheaper copies of their patented products. Air America Radio News.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Where do you go?
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Your lawn is being taken over by dandelions and crabgrass.
Help!
With Weed Be Gone, one product gets rid of the dandelions,
but not the crabgrass.
The other kills the crabgrass,
but not the lawn weeds. There's got to be a better way.
There is. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass in just one easy step, and it won't harm your lawn.
Two kinds of weeds, one simple solution.
Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Covad Broadband Service Rep Arnie Lewick on music. On fashion. On art.
Love that guy.
And on business broadband.
Oh, the key to business broadband is the same as any business decision. You want the best product at the best price. At Covad, we have broadband that's built for business, unlike the local phone company, which specializes in residential plans, and we have it for less. Hundreds of dollars a year less. And that's for broadband from us, the business broadband experts. Now, don't even get me started on Covad's selection of broadband services. Fixed IP addresses for firewalls, for web and email hosting. Well, the list just goes on and
Arnie
on.
Arnie Lewick on politics. Business broadband. Covad knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee, call 1-800-555-0454 or gocovad.com. That's 1-800-555-0454 or gocovad.com. Not available in all areas. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
Hi. I want to thank you for remembering to recycle, and I want to let you know the recycling program has been completely restored. Every week we're now collecting glass bottles and jars, along with plastic bottles and jugs, metal cans, aluminum foil, beverage cartons, and drink boxes. And don't forget to recycle your mixed paper and corrugated cardboard. Just set out recyclables in clear bags or your recycling containers. If you have any questions or need container decals, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York.
Hi, Mark Maron here, along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 7 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, I'll have our morning devotional, plus Clinton's former spokesman, Joe Lockhart, tells us how he'd be prepping President Bush, other than sending him out of the country. But right now, I got Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott with me. They've been with me for the last hour, and it's going well.
Yeah.
I'm all jammed on Dunkin' Donuts coffee and tea. I had tea on top of that. I'm mixing it.
Mixing it.
Is that bad? Is that going to do something bad? Is that like a speedball? Is that like, you know, don't mix booze and downers?
I was going to say, is that like, you know, doing the wheat with the, you know, the whiskey with the wine thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's going pretty well. Haven't thrown up yet. Still got a good buzz on. I'm good.
Is it Dunkin' Donuts tea as well as coffee? Or is it
no, I bring
meat?
The tea with
oh,
me.
Oh, you bring it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I got my own tea, dude. I got a guy who gives me the tea. You know
it's bootleg tea.
I go downtown and get my tea. Did you read this story yesterday? This story got me kind of worked up in some weird way about the drug import bill that the Bush administration warned Congress that legislation to allow Americans to legally import cheaper prescription drugs would lead to U.S. job losses in the pharmaceutical sector. Boy, they can't afford to lose any jobs in the pharmaceutical sector. But that's such a it's wrong. They won't lose any jobs. In the truth, what is he saying basically? Hey, look, if you're old and you need a lot of pills, you're dying anyways. Look, we lowered the estate tax, huh? How about giving us a little, huh? You don't want to put people out of work. You're dying anyways.
The boss of Pfizer now gets half the bonus he would normally
get. You know
get.
How much? It's like a $400 billion a year industry.
Mm-hmm.
$400 billion a year on pills. And they're taking this out of old people who are dying. And also, by the way, another thing, Bush's approval rating, all-time low. Do we have a little sound effect for clapping? Can we do that?
Is there a pill for that?
Well, you don't need a pill. That should be happiness
that
right there.
That should be
an endorphin rush right there. Doesn't that give you an endorphin rush to know that people are not liking him more and more and more? I'm very excited.
His polls is homeopathy.
What's that? His
Poles are the new homeopathy.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's good. It's all chemicals when you break it down, you know what I mean?
So now he's saying that those trips that a lot of seniors take into Canada to get the generic pills or to get the pills that they can get for, like, what, 30% of what they end up charging?
There's a bill that is saying that should be okay.
Sorry, I just realized, was I supposed to say homeopathy? Did I just not?
No.
Did that just confuse you because it's not homeopathy?
No, it's
laboratory and laboratory.
No one uses that.
I messed up again.
Yeah. No one uses that weird witchcraft medicine here.
You know, Europe.
I know it is. Yeah. I know, but they have the stuff that's psilocybin. The
Oscillocosinum.
That's it.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
What does that do?
You're supposed to take it before you take
when
you're feeling flu, you take it, and it's like eating those little candies.
It works. It does work, too.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, the only thing that works, wellness formula. That's the only thing that works, which is, I think, homeopathic, but it's more of an herbal thing. The homeopathy thing, I mean, come on, Sue.
You tell me it's cocaine again?
No, it's not. No, cocaine does not work.
But, you know, Americans take pills for everything.
They have
a headache. They do. They do it. This is the most most people do.
I've never liked pills. I am an American, and on behalf of Americans in my immediate family, I don't even take Aleve and Advil.
I don't take. No, I don't take antibiotics at all. I don't take any pills.
You guys are special and different and unusual, and that's why I'm sharing.
I don't shoot up
with you.
Either.
The people that take pills may need pills, but there are some pills that people don't need. But clearly, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is a $400 billion a year industry. We're not the only drug fiends on this planet.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, come on.
People realize the extent to which they're manipulated into, being forced to believe that they need this medicine. I read something about a former congressman this week, and I wish I could remember his name, that admitted that when they were trying to figure out, the FDA didn't want to give permission for lithium and Valium to be widely available, and there was some deal done behind the scenes with some cozy friend of his, like a horse trading thing on Capitol Hill, so that those drugs would be left off the addictive substances list.
That's a pharmaceutical lobby. They're one of the most powerful lobbies in the world.
Absolutely, that's what I mean.
Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush Sr. were both CEOs of pharmaceutical companies, and I think it's all part of a grand plan to medicate the left. That was something I've talked about before, because I really believe this to be true, that if you look at the symptoms of liberalism, in some contexts, they are sort of the same as, depression, because they're usually sensitive people, they're very empathetic people, they have a conscience, they're sort of self-centered people, and these are all the same sort of character traits that lead to depression and malaise. So I believe that Rumsfeld and George Bush early on knew this, and sought to medicate the left. And that's sort of what's happening. So it's part of a grander conspiracy.
Yeah, I'd say it's the military pharmaceutical complex theory.
No, it's the pharmaceutical media complex. So
media.
Well, that's nice. That's grown up. Medicate this boy.
No, you're right. It is the pharmaceutical how'd you call it again?
I said it was the military pharmaceutical complex.
Yes,
theory.
Exactly. That's what Sue said. She's absolutely right. See, I automatically argued with her just because I do that.
I know.
And then I thought about it.
Then there was that raspberry thing, which I think shows that he maybe should be on Ritalin.
Wait a minute.
A raspberry, that's another thing we don't use here. We don't use raspberry for the fart noise.
But what was that?
We don't use homeopathy, and we don't use raspberry. We're not all on pills.
That was an organic raspberry.
I eat a lot of fruit, but no one said raspberry here. But I appreciate the strange sort of exotic Britishness you bring to our country.
To our country.
Single-handedly.
You are doing it.
You and Laura Flanders, the two of you.
And Eddie Izzard, who you can have back.
But
I love Eddie Izzard, even though I know you don't like him.
He's a hack.
He's funny.
No, he's not.
He is, too.
See, now I know why you don't laugh at my joke. I wouldn't want you to if you like Eddie Izzard, believe
me. More in-depth conversation about Eddie Izzard when we come back. No, the pill thing is fascinating to me because I came up during a time when people were not looking to medicate themselves with pills. They were simply looking to get high.
Having a good time back when they were
nudes
and Benny's.
Paris and 714s. And all. Not that I ever took any of these things myself, you understand.
Sure.
But I knew about them because I read about them in various counterculture publications.
No, I hear you, man.
But when I got to a certain point in my life and I decided I was going to stop doing drugs, that meant all drugs.
Right.
So that meant the pills, too.
Right.
So, you kind of take a holistic approach to drugs. And if you say, this drug is no different from this drug, is no different from from this drug. If you kind of throw out the idea of which ones the government says are legal and illegal,
right,
then you just stop doing drugs.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that Sue's right, though. I think on a lot of levels, and I've said it before in my act, that, you know, depression is just a scam to sell medication. You know, and
I agree with you.
Because,
there.
Like, yeah. they create illnesses. Like, they now say Zoloft treats social anxiety disorder, and it's like, which is shyness.
Isn't Zoloft something? Wasn't that a character in Flash Gordon or something? I'm just asking.
Yeah, he had this weird power of just making everything okay.
Yeah.
Like, he would show up and just go, hey, I'm here, and everyone would go, well, I feel better.
I just remember Flash Gordon from when I was a kid because they had the cheese.
And Zoloft, the antidepressant man.
Yeah. Flash, the guy went, Flash, what? Was that him?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe in the movie. I don't know. I don't know that part.
No, this was like from the...
From the 40s?
Yeah, 30s? From 30s and 40s.
So you're really dating yourself. Are you timeless, Mark?
No,
really
I watched this stuff when I was a kid. I watched the Three Stooges when I was a kid. They're from the 30s and 40s.
He was a friend of Queen Victoria's.
That's right.
So, the Bush...
you're Danish?
I thought you said he dated.
Yeah.
So he dated Queen Victoria.
First base, unfortunately.
Nice.
She was not amused.
I'm sorry.
God, we've covered a lot of turf. So the Bush thing is today. Bush and Cheney today, and he was in the...
AstroTurf.
Yeah. And the Bush meeting with the Swedish Prime Minister was asked why he's going to 9/11 panel with Dick Cheney, because he can't not go with his buddy Dick. And this is how... he didn't directly reply, but instead he explained the complex issue to Sweden's head of government here in this piece here.
Well, what he's asking about is a meeting I'm going to have talking with this 9/11 commission about my attitude and the attitude of the vice president about our country, our security, what happened on that particular day, what happened leading up to that. And I look forward to the discussion. I look forward to giving the commissioners a chance to question both of us. And it'll be an ample. It'll be a good opportunity for these people to help write a report that hopefully will help future presidents deal with terrorist threats to the country.
What the? He's looking forward to the discussion? Is that a threat? Who would want to discuss anything with that guy?
You've
been waiting 20 minutes. My hate just overtook my pity, thank
you
God.
Know what?
Usually my pity gets in the way of my hate, but my hate overtook my pity.
I think you're being unfair, Mark. That at the beginning,
yeah.
It was Swedish. He was reaching out to the Swedish Prime Minister.
He was trying to speak Swedish.
He was doing the Swedish vowel sounds, all those things with the lines through them and little dots over the top and the circles that are impenetrable.
Uh-huh.
He was...
Umlauts.
Umlauts. I thought they were German umlauts. Well, our producer is of Swedish descent.
Uh-oh.
Umlauts.
He's making a really weird face now.
Is
that Swedish, that face, Jonathan?
But wait a minute, can somebody answer me a question?
Totally impassive.
I don't understand this. He said during the course of this, they're going to ask us about our attitude toward whatever.
I know, I didn't hear that. Attitude.
How does he know that? How does he know that he's going to walk in there and say, well, what was your attitude toward the country during 9/11? That's what he says. Listen to it again. Can we listen to it again?
Attitude?
You'll hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch.
Well, what he's asking about is a meeting I'm going to have talking with this 9/11 commission about my attitude and the attitude of the vice president about our country, our security, happened on that particular day, leading up to that, and I look forward to the discussion.
What do they think they're going to say? Like, well, I had a pretty good attitude. You know, initially, but then when I realized what happened, I had a very bad attitude.
Maybe he's talking about just approaching the panel with attitude, you know, throwing shade.
Like he's always got a little attitude. He's got that weird mixture of snotty, pompous attitude and completely, panicky, brainless attitude.
What was my attitude? What was the vice president's attitude?
Attitude?
Coming up.
he
only said it because it was a Swedish guy, and he figured he didn't know what he was talking about.
Probably. Secret tapes of the Bush-Cheney 9/11 meetings before they actually happen, plus Recovery Corner and much more here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio, where ketchup is not a vegetable.
Planet.
Canada leaves coal behind with green future in mind.
Coal is a very dirty 19th century fuel which has no place in 21st century North America.
That's Jack Gibbons, chair of the Ontario Clean Air Alliance.
The 5 coal-fired power plants we have in Ontario are a major contributor to our air pollution public health crisis. They produce as much pollution as 6.2 million cars.
Coal is environmental enemy number one.
Coal produces greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming and climate change. It produces mercury, which is a very potent nerve toxin that causes brain, liver, and kidney damage. It produces all kinds of smog and acid rain.
The good news, thanks to Ontario's new government, all dirty coal-fired power plants will be phased out by 2007.
Our goal is to clean up the air, to save lives and protect the environment, and to help stop global warming and climate change.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tadmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tadmail.com, helping people and the planet.
At Volunteers of America, we don't just give kids a way to stay off the streets. We give them the tools they need to reach their full potential. We don't just help the elderly receive needed care. We help them live life to the fullest. We don't just provide food for homeless individuals and families. We provide job training and placement so they can buy groceries. Volunteers of America is a national organization that for over 100 years has provided programs and services that allow people to overcome their challenges to become vital members of their community. At Volunteers of America, we don't just help people, we help people help themselves. Find out how you can support the programs that are working in your community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089. That's 1-800-899-0089.
Okay then, Dr. Carter. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time.
All right, Mr. Stewart. Now remember, keep taking your pills every day.
Mr. Stewart is one of my patients. He's got high blood pressure. So we talked about how that also puts him at risk for kidney disease. Kidney disease doesn't have any real warning signs. But if you have high blood pressure or diabetes, or a family member with kidney failure, you're at risk. So now Mr. Stewart gets simple testing done for kidney disease when he comes in. He's lucky and smart. Because if you don't get checked for kidney disease now, you could be on the waiting list for a kidney transplant later.
If you have diabetes or high blood pressure, or a family member with kidney failure, ask your doctor or healthcare professional to test you. For a free brochure, call toll-free 1-866-4-KIDNEY because you have the power to prevent kidney disease. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Kidney Disease Education Program.
Randy Rhodes.
New York doesn't take this voting thing all that seriously because you guys, you still have those machines that I used to vote on with the curtain. You know there's no curtain in Florida. There's no privacy in Florida. You stand at a snack tray. But now we're going to do touchscreen voting and there's no paper. So they can't do a recount. They can't compare exit polls to what, you know, what people say as they leave the polling places.
Randy Rhodes. Afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Good God, we're back! It's Mark Maron with Sue Ellicott, Mark Riley here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, and now it is the time that we look forward to every day. It is time to have a moment with our Creator. It is time for the morning devotional. Dear Lord, it's a big day for your servant George W. Bush. If you've ever helped him before, and you have a lot, you need to help him today as he faces the 9/11 Commission. And just let me say again, you've helped him a lot, Lord, to the exclusion of millions of other people who needed and deserved your help so much more. I mean, come on! Sorry, I know you're God. Okay, I'm getting off the rails here. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say. He's about to face a commission and only half of them are Republicans. That's so unfair. That kind of stress may be more than Bush can handle. We don't need to read about the President of the United States having some crazy, crying guilt meltdown. You never gave him a conscience before. Don't give him one now. A few dignified lies will probably get us through this, Lord. Amen. Very powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff. So we've got an Air America exclusive this morning, and this is coming from my guy, my time-traveling... Deadhead bootleg guy. who now it's becoming a theme. I just realized Al Franken only plays Grateful Dead music, and I've got a secret part of me that only plays Dead music.
As opposed to the dead leg boothead guy, which will be...
The deadhead bootleg guy. Yes.
The guy who's being kicked under the table at the 9/11 hearings today.
He's a time traveler. And I'm like not old enough to be a boomer deadhead like Mr. Franken. But thanks to the Patriot Act and my deadhead friend, we've got the excerpts from the panel thing that hasn't happened yet. It's profound what you can do in this age of technology and with a guy who takes a lot of acid and travels through time portals. So we'll pick up the questioning. This is part two of the Bush-Cheney panel thing.
Okay, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, we cannot have you two speaking in unison anymore. Now, Mr. Vice President, what were you hearing from the CIA in the summer of 2001?
Commissioner Gerlich, we received no warnings at that time that I would call actionable.
All right. Mr. President, how often did you meet with the CIA director?
Commissioner Gerlich, we received no warnings at that time that I would call actionable.
Excuse me, Mr. President?
Commissioner, perhaps I could answer the question. Answer the question.
What? Mr. President, I would like you to answer, please.
What? Mr. President, I would like you to answer, please.
Not her, you idiot, me. Say what I say.
Not her, you idiot, me. Say what I say. I mean what you say. What he says. Him. Over there. That one.
Let the record show that the president is pointing to the vice president while furiously scratching his head with the other hand.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. So, what's really amazing is just how close the voices are. That's what's
really... What's really amazing is no one can pronounce Jamie Gorelick's name properly.
I feel bad we're making fun of the comedy bit, and, some guys worked hard on that, and, you know, we appreciate the effort. We really do. And it is kind of odd, still odd, that they are going at it together. It's still like, it really makes George Bush look even more childish and not in charge.
Till they do it. I bet you that Cheney will defer. I think that George Bush is going to say far more and be made to look like the strong guy, and Cheney will be there as his sidekick.
That's only if they've been up all night on Benny's, okay? And they've been quizzing. I'm sure that Dick's been holding quiz cards and asking questions. Okay, tell me about the second hour of the day of September 11th. I don't know, man. I think that's probably the strategy, Sue, but I'd be really surprised if it really comes off like that. And unfortunately, outside of the time-traveling deadhead portal dispatches, no one's going to know what really went down unless somebody leaks it, and we won't really get to have the beautiful kind of lack of eloquent transcript of the situation.
But isn't he just going to stick to the same stuff that Condoleezza Rice pretty much stuck to, that we would have moved heaven and earth, that we didn't have specifics, we didn't have actionable intelligence, all those buzz phrases
that
worked so well, he's just going to, trot them out, and then the other stuff...
It can take a lot longer.
There will be a lot of, I don't remember. No, I don't think there will, because when he feels really in charge, mm-hmm. and that he can assert his unassailable right to be commander-in-chief and president, then he speaks in absolute intelligible sentences.
When he can be a bully. Or when he can
feels that he has nobody has the right to challenge him.
Now, they're coming to his house for this, right? They're coming to the White House.
Are they?
I believe, yes, they are coming. They're not going to the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission is coming to them.
So, do you think...
It's like dominoes?
When they all show up, though, do you have salsa and chips for them and stuff? Like, when the Commission comes?
I don't know. It's funny you mention that, because I thought about that. Like, what refreshments going to be?
Yeah, like, does Laura say, does anyone need anything? I've got dip coming out.
It's in the White House etiquette book what to do when panel commission members come over.
I made pin queso. Does anyone have a problem with cheese? Is there a problem with cheese?
Oh, my goodness. What do you think she's going to... You think like a Mexican motif?
Yeah, I think they always go that way.
Fajitas?
You know? They that's where they come from. They're from Texas, and they like to do the fajitas.
Right. Yeah.
The fajitas.
So they break in the middle. They have a nice sit-down lunch with everybody. They get to be real... And nothing comes of it.
Well, that'd be interesting if they try to create such a sort of like casual vibe to it.
Relaxed, laid back.
I think it's he's got to be freaking out. I mean, Bush has got to be freaking out. The one thing I realize about him is that it takes everything he's got to get into the present, because I think he's very panicky. He's very freaked out. He knows that he's not really the guy for the job, and he's amazed that he can do it. And I think most of the people that like him because they feel sorry for him on some level, and they think that they're like him. They're looking at a guy that's been given an opportunity that doesn't deserve it, and he's trying his best.
I think he doesn't get panicky. I think the opposite. I think he'll walk around.
Did you see that press conference?
But inside, I think that he feels that things are simple in his head. He knows what's right. He thinks he knows what's wrong. And I don't think he is in a sort of, you know, inner tailspin. I really don't. I think
he sees
things in a, you know, very kind of black and white way. That's why he's able to carry on functioning.
I think that maybe not inner tailspin, but I think he's got inner hostility. I think he was a rageful guy.
Are you projecting, Mark?
No. I think that from what I know of Bush before and after his born-again experience, you know, the guy who was out there carousing and drinking and boozing and being a smartass and, you know, kicking people's asses. I mean, you know, this is not the guy we see today.
But isn't that the point, that when you are born again and you've cleaned up, is that there's this inner calm that you keep on stoking?
Right, but it's a task. It's not a natural thing.
Uh-huh.
We will be back with Joe Lockhart, the press secretary for Clinton, ex-press secretary, Recovery Corner, and a lot of other stuff here on Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. New developments from the war zone in Iraq. 8 U.S. Marines were killed in Baghdad this morning. Their deaths followed that of 2 others in eastern Baghdad in separate incidents. A U.S. Marine commander has confirmed that a deal has been reached to pull their troops out of Fallujah. Early reports say the responsibility of flushing out insurgents will be that of the Iraqi army. That army has had a hard time fighting their fellow nationals. Forget about Al-Qaeda. The FBI says Americans may have reason for concern about possible terrorist attacks from elements of the Palestinian groups Hamas and Hezbollah. The feds say both have infiltrated the United States. They say they are engaged in fundraising and logistics. The investigative arm of the government says the vast majority of the United Nations oil for food contracts in Iraq have mysteriously disappeared. Investigators say it is crippling efforts to uncover fraud in the program. And President Bush and Vice President Cheney faced the 9/11 panel today on their turf inside the Oval Office. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Mrs. Lawson? Mrs. Lawson, your rent is overdue.
I still don't have it. I'm sorry.
It's been 2 months.
I know, but I have 3 kids. I'm doing everything I can, but I just don't have enough money.
Is that the door, Mom?
Nobody, Catherine. Why don't you go play with your brother?
Mrs. Lawson, I can't keep coming back like this.
I'm doing everything I can. I don't know what else to do.
I need some money.
I know.
Rent or food? 1 in 5 American children faces hunger because of decisions like this. To help, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS or visit feedingchildrenbetter.org. Hunger, a choice no one should have to make. A public service message brought to you by America's Second Harvest, Feeding Children Better, and the Ad Council.
Good morning. How are you? Mark Maron here with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley.
You sound so genial for a man who's so evil.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming down.
It's something I put in his tea.
Thanks for driving to work. Thanks for being you. We're here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio, probably having a better time than we should. The president and vice president are expected to meet in a private session with the 9/11 commission members in about an hour or so. Countdown. And we've already had some dispatches from the future. It's going to be very controlled. No stenographers, no tape recorders, and everything they say will not be under oath. How has the White House been handling the situation? Joining us now to help us pry open the White House's iron fist of information is former Clinton administration White House press secretary Joe Lockhart. Joe, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys doing?
Good. Nice to talk to you. So the Bush-Cheney testimony, what goes into prepping for something like this?
Well,
you know...
A lot of cue cards, a lot of Benny's. What's going on?
My guess is that the preparation will be similar to the press conference, and the commission shouldn't expect to get really interesting answers. I think he'll have two or three things he'll say. He'll keep repeating it, and they'll come away saying he cooperated but probably shaking their heads.
But, yeah, I mean, you know this president. You've seen this president. This is not, the most capable speaker, the most eloquent man. So if you were, assistant to this president or press secretary, how would you prep him for it?
Well, I basically say, that's an interesting question, and turn and say, Dick, why don't you take that one? the best Democratic strategy I've heard so far is that the Democrats are going to insist that while Bush is speaking, Cheney be drinking a glass of water.
We're hearing a lot of those jokes.
And how would you prep Clinton, the smart sort of multi-leveled visionary president?
Keep your answers short.
Oh, yeah. They don't even know the history of everything for this.
Well,
point.
I mean, it was typical of and it's, I guess, a serious point, the differences between the two. Clinton was supposed to stay for 4 hours. After 5.5 hours, they said thank you, and he said, well, one more thing, and, they stayed a little while longer.
Right. He loved to talk. He still loves to talk, and he's a good talker.
But it's beyond that. He actually knows what he's talking about. He's got something to say.
Yeah.
He didn't answer questions, he doesn't answer questions with other odd questions like this president does.
Why do you think that outside the obvious reasons of the joint appearance, I mean, what impact do you think this will have, on their statements and on the appearances? I mean, I think it makes Bush look like a doofus.
Well, I think he had several easy ways to get out of the appearance problem in the press conference, and he just blew it. He just, wasn't... willing to make it. This is a guy who was unwilling to make a joke at his own expense.
Didn't that make you uncomfortable watching it?
No, it did. It did, and there were lots of ways to answer it. I think that the commission report is going to be significant, and the fact that these guys have been so inflexible on the rules, they have to come in together. That's going to color the report. So there'll be no fallout today or tomorrow. But come this summer when they sit down and write the report, if they give evasive answers today, they're going to pay for it.
Joe, if you were George Bush's press secretary, perish the thought, would you be worried about possible leaks coming out of this? And would you maybe very quietly suggest that the White House itself do a little leaking just to keep the spin positive?
No, I don't think I would. I think this committee has been pretty good about keeping things to themselves and putting things out formally and officially. So I think if this was a congressional committee, I'd take a different view. But I think these guys have had lots of information over the last 6-7 months, and very little of it is leaked out except when it's officially released.
Joe Lockhart, I don't really understand the point that you said that the fact that they stalled and didn't really want to come and testify will color the commission's report. Because it would be very bad, wouldn't it, if the commission looks intentionally partisan. And they seem to have done a pretty good job so far in summarizing testimony that has been given and putting it out on their website in very easy to understand terms. I mean, why would they want to look partisan?
Well, I don't think they will. They're going to come out with a final report this summer, and I think even the Republican members of the committee have taken seriously their job. So if it's a matter of Dick Clark's allegations or something like that, that's one thing. But when the committee is disrespected the way this administration has done, trying to stop it from being formed, trying to shut it down early, and then keeping valuable documents from them, even the Republicans have been upset and have been upset publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of that will go into, these are human beings who are going to have to sit down and write the report. And I think if the White House thinks that they can filibuster the committee and bully the committee, these are capable people, and I think they may pay for it in the long run.
Joe, there have been separate findings from the commission on the FBI, the CIA, even on NORAD. Should we expect any separate report on the testimony of the president and vice president, or do we have to wait till the final for that?
My guess is we'll have to wait to the final report on this. The crux of what they're looking at is the White House and the leadership role here. So I doubt there'll be something separate. My guess is we'll have to wait to the final.
Joe, we know how symbolic it is that they're appearing, but is there really any chance that we're going to find out anything new in their testimony? Really?
I mean, I think you could put this on pay-per-view and it would have the smallest audience in history. There's nothing that will come out of this.
Not if they were
really
wrestling.
No, I mean, my guess is whatever little Bush knows about what was going on, because he wasn't paying much attention to terrorism, the idea that he would share that information is pretty remote.
But is it likely to play to people who are kind of really the ardent Bush supporters that it's kind of unfair to put him on the spot in this way? I mean, does it play to Bush voters that he's sort of been pressurized to appear?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly the right person to ask about the mindset of Bush voters, but he is the president. A lot of people did die. We are vulnerable. The idea that he can't spend a couple hours talking to a commission, I think it would be hard for anyone to understand.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sue sort of suggested earlier that she thinks he's going to be really prepped and he's going to be the guy wearing the pants in this little relationship today, and you think otherwise, right?
Well, I mean, that may be the case, but there may also be some elaborate hand signals going on and, you know, I would check his ear for an earpiece.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you think the GOP would be treating Gore if he were president right now?
Probably with kid gloves. They probably would have rallied around the flag and put their differences aside and started impeachment hearings the next day.
But Mark, I think what I was trying to say earlier was actually a point that Joe, I thought, seemed to kind of back me up on that, was that the Bush was going to try to stay on message and there was going to be a lot of repetition of kind of standard phrases and the things that we've already heard. That's really what I was trying to say.
Mm. Joe, let me ask you, we see some polling in today's papers that say that the American public's support for George W. Bush, around Iraq is starting to erode. We've got late reports now that 8 U.S. soldiers have been killed in the Baghdad area, and this was after the killings of 2 other U.S. soldiers in eastern Baghdad and 1 north of Baghdad. Yet it doesn't seem as though it's benefiting John Kerry. What do you make of this slippage in Bush's support?
Well, you know, I think the country is willing to support a military operation, even at the cost of American lives, as long as they understand what the mission is and why we're doing it, and as long as they feel like the government is being straight with them. I think this president has done a very poor job of explaining why we're there. I mean, it's a shifting explanation because the first 2 or 3 reasons that he used didn't pan out. So he's now settled on one, so the public is somewhat skeptical. I think the bigger problem is, and this is where I think the Vietnam analogy is apt, that this administration has taken the view that they just don't deal with bad news. They just pretend it doesn't exist, and they just soldier on, and the public watches the news, and the public isn't stupid. They realize that things are going very badly over there. So I think that is the reason the president's losing support. Now, John Kerry is not benefiting from this yet because he hasn't articulated an alternative vision. I mean, he has written some op-eds, he's given some speeches, but the American public hasn't seen that. It is not getting the attention. So he's got to figure out a way to capture the public. I think ultimately, though, when it comes down to it, this is about the incumbent. If the country believes that we've got a plan, they're being straight with us, and we're going in the right direction, and things will get better, they're going to vote for the president. He's going to be reelected, no matter what John Kerry does. If they believe that we're going in the wrong direction, that this president doesn't deserve to get rehired for his job, they're going to put John Kerry in no matter what he says.
Thank you very much, Joe Lockhart, former White House Communication Director. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Take care.
It's great talking to you. Wow. So that was kind of insightful, I guess.
Yeah.
It's amazing what how much work goes into making presidents.
Sound coherent.
We're going to Recovery Corner up next, and we want to know what you think the 9/11 panel will get out of Bush and Cheney. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270 here at Air America Radio.
Air America Radio. Question authoritatively. There was water in the air, and it was good.
Once, Planet Check.
Bush's new hydrogen tour? Don't believe the hype. Brendan Bell from Sierra Club's Global Warming and Energy Program uncovers the dirt.
Bush administration just announced that they're going on a 6-city tour to promote their flawed hydrogen plan.
Instead of using clean, renewable energy sources like wind and solar power, the plan is to make hydrogen in the dirtiest way possible by using coal and nuclear power.
That's like putting on a nicotine patch that causes cancer. Bush administration should be putting 21st century technology to work instead of relying on 19th century outdated polluting technology to move us forward.
Get hip to hydrogen the green way. For all the 411, check out the Sierra Club's website at sierraclub.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
Hi, I'm Cindy Thompson for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. To some, it's just not country music without hard drinking and fast driving. But real life's not always a song. And in less time than it takes to play the latest country hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Planet Check.
Raw sewage is a big problem in the U.S. Novice Bermudez from the Sierra Club explains.
EPA has estimated that there are approximately 40,000 discharges of raw sewage each year in the United States, and this contaminates drinking water sources, streams, and homes.
In January 2001, the EPA proposed new requirements for fixing outdated sewer systems and public reporting and notification of sewer overflows. Right now, the public is not always notified, leaving people at risk.
This EPA proposal would have cost $1.92 per household per year, but the Bush administration has blocked the proposal and has refused to take any action, leaving these protections against sewage overflows on permanent hold.
Raw sewage discharges are illegal under the Clean Water Act.
For more information, www.sierraclub.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
The O'Franken Factor. Great scholars have terrific perspective on what happened, and so what history says about you will probably be very important.
Air America's Al Franken.
When these great historians in the future say, worst president who ever lived, he will be dead. And thank goodness for him, because it'll be very embarrassing.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer. Weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Happy morning to you.
Oh, no. We
happy,
don't recognize
happy morning
the, where's
to you.
The old Mark?
I'm filling people up with love. I'm here
Scary.
With Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley, spreading the morning cheer. It's about 14 or 13, actually, before the hour, and I'm Mark Maron. As I just said that, and I just went to reading. That's not a good idea. I should just trust myself, shouldn't I, Mark Riley?
Another minute has passed, and I'm still Mark Maron.
Call us at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We want to hear what you want to hear from Bush and Cheney on the 9/11 Commission, or what you may be thinking John Kerry should be doing right now would be also an interesting thing to hear. Right now, of course, it is time for me to say, hi, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And this is Recovery Corner.
Very exuberant, Mark Riley.
Of course.
In Recovery Corner, I like to reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And as always, I am offering counsel to my sponsee, George W. As we know, George W. is facing a commission today. I know you're facing a commission. I know you're the president. You're the man. This is your show. But that's the kind of thinking that leads right back to drinking. You're not in control of this, George W. You're not in control of anything. Remember, a life run on self-will can hardly succeed. You know who's in control, don't you? That's right, Cheney. Well, God, too, of course, but mostly Cheney. On this commission thing, my advice is let go and let Cheney. Now, no one's going to see it anyway, so this is a free one, buddy, all right? But it's good practice for something. I don't know, you'll do an inventory later, you'll work it through. Just remember, you're just you, one little powerless man trying to get through one day at a time, just like me, and that's all we can expect from anyone, especially you. Remember, anger's just a letter away from danger. It works if you work it, so work it, you're worth it, and live it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Think, 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 let go and let God. Remember, if you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. That's going out to George W., my temporary sponsor.
Whoa, you want to lie down after that?
Feel good. Bob. 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 Bob, what's up?
Okay, they do have elaborate hand signals. They're going to have each other's hands on each other's penis.
Yay!
Once for yes, twice for no, and more than three times,
Oh, Bob, thank you for raising the bar here at Morning Sedition.
Yes, absolutely.
How many for I got to pee? Okay, how about Rick in Westchester? Winchester, where'd that Rick?
First of all, you guys are great, and I'm really glad that Air America is on the air right now. Desperately needed.
Thank you.
My question is the following. I keep hearing that that they're not testifying today, that they're going to be in the Oval Office talking, and then the clip you played said, I'm looking forward to, the Bush said, I'm looking forward to the discussion. Like, what's going on? If it's not a testimony for religious people like this, they're just going to lie.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think the spin is that if you call it a discussion, you know, it takes it down. I think the word testimony implies they did something wrong, and we know that this administration would never admit or never want to anyone to think or would at least like to keep the people that they have brainwashed by saying discussion and not testimony. And also, I think testimony might scare the president a little bit.
Well, he might think he has to be under oath. I mean, he can't say testimony because he's not going to be under oath. Mm-hmm.
So it is just a discussion.
That's a nice little chat.
Yeah.
Well, take it down a peg. Make it a conversation.
That's right. Mena. Manhattan. Mena. Mena. Mina.
Mina.
Sorry.
Mina.
Hi.
Mina. Listen, I think you guys have fallen for the spin on this. You keep talking about them testifying before the commission. They're having Tom Kaine and Lee Hamilton in for tea. And they're going to have the vice president and, as of last night, White House counsel with. They're not testifying before the commission. They're talking to two people.
That's it?
And is a cop coming for you, Mina?
No, the
you're right here.
The entire commission is supposed to be there. Originally, they were going to talk only to Hamilton and Kaine.
Right.
But now all 10 members of the commission are scheduled to be there, as far as I know. Am I wrong about that?
Thank you for your call. Oh, here you are.
You.
What's up? Okay, great. Thanks. I guess we cleared that up. Thank you, Mina.
Mina, you know how I knew it was Mina? You ever watch, either Frankenstein or Dracula? Mina Harker.
Oh.
The daughter that gets bitten by Dracula.
She kind of called to correct us, and then it ended up we kind of were right to begin with. That made me feel good for a minute. Now, I'm sorry that Mina was wrong.
It made up for mispronouncing her name, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Mina is Meanie. Will. Yeah, oh, wait. Will, hang on a minute. 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. Now, Will, what do you got?
Hey, I don't know what they're gonna call it, but it sure isn't testimony.
Right.
I got another thing I want to talk about. Condi Rice is coming to town here in Lansing, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
On May 7th.
Okay.
I was wondering what listeners would like me to pass on as a message. I may not get close enough to talk to her, but I can wave a sign in her face.
We'll put that out there. Thank you, Will.
I got one.
What?
Lose the makeup.
Fix the gap. I'm sorry.
I thought that was what was Clinton, first of all.
What?
Will.
No, it wasn't. That's when Clinton calls, it's usually William.
I realize. I thought it was another multiple identity, a third one.
A third Will?
866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Rich in New Jersey. Rich.
Hi, I've got two comments.
Okay.
If the president and vice president don't have to be under oath, well, then one, there's nothing to stop them from lying, and two, they're foreclosing any possibility of reprisals like Clinton faced when he was charged with a high crime or misdemeanor.
I agree with you. I'd like nothing more for them to be under oath, and I'd like nothing more for them to be caught in a lie. I'd like nothing more for them to be, you know, impeachable on some level, which I think they already are. But that does seem to be the issue. Greg in Florida. Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, you guys are great.
Thank you.
I just I wanted to make a comment. I don't know if you guys saw Fox News last night, O'Reilly.
I go to bed at 6.
Yeah. Me too.
That's a good idea.
what happened?
They're bad-mouthing ABC, and they were the Doonesbury cartoons about the soldiers. ABC's doing a special on Friday.
Yeah.
With having all the, they're going to show each soldier that was killed.
Right,
that's
right.
That's Nightline, right?
I mean, they don't want the American public to know that. They're afraid that it might turn their heads about what's going on with the war.
Right. You know, Al Jazeera is doing a similar thing, but it's going to go on for 3 weeks.
You know, one of the reasons why I think a lot of folks on the right are afraid of this is because some years ago, I believe it was the Washington Post, printed an entire metro section with nothing but the faces of kids under the age of 16 who had died by violence in D.C. that previous year. There were like 400 people.
Wow.
Or something like this. Ridiculously high number. And the thing was, it had a profound impact on the city of Washington at the time. I mean, people were just like stunned by this.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's an acknowledgement. I think it's a memorial. I think it's respectful. And I think it's important that people really put a human face to the death that's happening.
Mm-hmm. But the other reason they're scared of it is the fact that President Bush has not attended any funerals and has disassociated himself from kind of the human toll that the U.S. military has paid. And I think it's interesting that ABC's Nightline is doing this on Friday, because earlier this week I actually was up late enough to watch the 6:30 news, and on the NBC, Tom Brokaw interviewed two veterans side by side. One, a young guy from Iraq who was blinded over the last year, and an older guy from Vietnam. And I thought that is very interesting. It reminded me of that, you know, if we lose Walter Cronkite, we've lost America. The fact that the media is paying attention in a way that puts a human face on the toll that the United States has paid for being in Iraq.
Yeah, Vietnam. The Vietnam War, from what I remember when I was 6, was very much organic in that way. That the media really covered it and humanized it, and there was, you know, a lot of, you could see death, you could see coffins, you could see the human toll. And I think we all get a little detached for it. It's easy to get detached from it because we're here a million miles away and it's not being shown.
Well, they turned part of the reason, as Sue points out, is it turned the American people, all that death they saw on television, turned people against the war. I mean, this was one of the things that happened during the civil rights movement when people televised the March on Selma, televised Bull Connor sicking dogs on black people.
Right.
It changed, but people didn't think that went on in America. And the same thing was true in Vietnam. We were just getting figures. We were just getting numbers. And suddenly they started showing Dan Rather and all these other people. Rather was a correspondent at the time over in Vietnam, showing, you know, soldiers with bloody faces and that sort of thing. And it brought the war into people's living rooms, and I think really turned sentiment against it.
It's important, man. And I think it's powerful, and it's real, and it should be the human reaction to seeing that, you know, this is horrible.
Yeah.
But they feel vulnerable because they also know that there's a New York Times CBS poll out that's showing that over the last few months that the public support for the war in Iraq has substantially eroded.
Yeah, and it's only going to erode more. And I think that the more that people can, you know, who's very, very good at talking about this is Randy Rose in the afternoon, who I listened to yesterday. And, you know, she is really sort of passionate about making people understand, and I think as they should, that, you know, these are human beings dying on all sides. And
she's a vet, too. I think she served in the Air Force, if memory serves.
I don't know, but like I've been listening to her show a bit, and there's a certain inspirational factor that she really captures.
Yeah.
But she does deal a lot with the military and with the fact that, you know, there are human beings dying every day. And as Mark said, just, you know, today there was eight new casualties,
yeah.
So it's heavy stuff, and I'm really curious to see how the country responds to what ABC does, and I don't think they should be criticized for it at all.
I mean, it's interesting. They are only going back to U.S. military combat deaths back to early March, and which just shows that they just haven't got enough time to do all of them. I mean, if you're only going back to early March, April has been the bloodiest month. I think we've 115 people have died.
And even like as far as the wounded. I mean, how many people? You never hear that number.
No.
You know, you never hear the number of American wounded. You know, and initially they weren't even giving the number of deaths. And you certainly haven't heard anything about Iraqi casualties. You know, civilian casualties or otherwise.
That'll be next year sometime.
Maybe. I mean, they still didn't even have the numbers right from the first war. Really, the first Gulf War.
Yeah. Well, it's part of making war palatable. to people. And this administration, this president, is stopping at nothing. Yeah, making
the
war
Bush administration
for America.
Making more palatable for people.
Still to come. Some guy here has the liberal agenda coming up. Plus, are Democrats too hard on John Kerry? And are Bush and Cheney the postmodern version of Penn and Teller? You decide right here on Air America Radio.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpack. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them the backpack. Now you try the backpack. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage him. Get him to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4-KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio, we'll have more of the secret tapes of Bush and Cheney at the 9/11 panel. Plus, get ready to write down your marching orders for the day because we've got the liberal agenda, and I can read. But first, here are the headlines at this hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More Americans continue to fall prey to violence in Iraq. 8 more U.S. Marines will be joining the remains of 2 others to be flown home in body bags from Iraq. All 10 succumbed to unrest in the capital this morning. Their deaths followed a military directive for a pullout of troops in another Iraqi hotspot, Fallujah. A deal has been worked out that released the U.S. Marines there and turns over the responsibility of going after the insurgents to the Iraqi army. Add the name of New Jersey U.S. veteran Senator Frank Lautenberg to the growing chorus of American critics who've questioned the military records of President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. Lautenberg calls Dick Cheney the lead chicken hawk, walking about the John Kerry war record in Vietnam.
Chicken hawk, a person enthusiastic about war, provided someone else does the fighting, particularly when that enthusiasm is undimmed by personal experience with war. Most emphatically, when that lack of experience came in spite of ample opportunity in that person's youth to serve their country.
New Jersey veteran Senator Frank Lautenberg, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry, in recent weeks has had to respond to a spate of criticism from conservative Republicans and the vice president himself over his service to the country during the Vietnam War. Pentagon intelligence report has concluded that many attacks against the coalition in Iraq are organized and carried out by members of Saddam Hussein's Secret Service. According to the New York Times this morning, the attackers supposedly planned for the insurgency even before the fall of Baghdad. Reports cite specific evidence, but other important assessments of American intelligence on Iraq have been challenged and some proven wrong. And the FBI says they have their sights on elements of the Palestinian groups Hamas and Hezbollah after discovering their presence in the United States. Feds say they've been keeping a close watch on their activities for close to a year now. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Joe Connison, best-selling author of Big Lies, says this about the new book, Take Them at Their Words, by Bruce J. Miller.
Take Them at Their Words is fun, frightening, and instructive. And in an election year, it should be required reading for every American who wants to take back our country from the far right.
Take Them at Their Words features more than 1,000 right-wing quotations from radio and TV programs, newspapers, magazines, and websites. Here are a couple of samples.
We need to execute people like John Walker in order to physically intimidate liberals by making them realize that they can be killed, too.
Ann Coulter.
Sarah Brady ought to be put down. A humane shot at a veterinarian would be an easy way to do it.
Talk show host Bob Mohan, Sidney Blumenthal, says,
"Take them at their words is more than a brilliantly and endlessly amusing sample of quotations from the right. It is a volume that reveals an unabashed worldview that today holds sway in the White House, the Congress, and much of the media.
Take them at their words. Shocking, amusing, and baffling quotations from the GOP and their friends, 1994 to 2004. $15.95 in paperback at bookstores everywhere or online."
Enron, the scandal-ridden energy company whose former CEO has close ties to President George W. Bush, has agreed to pay $35 million in a settlement over allegations it sought to illegally manipulate natural gas prices. Though Enron has neither admitted nor denied wrongdoing, it accepted the penalty from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. However, the commission will go to the back of the line behind thousands of bankrupt companies, other creditors, meaning the agency won't be paid. Former President Vice President Al Gore's promise to give more than $6 million left over from his presidential run in 2000. Gore is looking to boost the campaign war chest. A Democratic presidential candidate, John Kerry, and other Democrats. Gore says he's hopeful that the money will be used to fight outrageous and misleading Republican attacks. Gore has been keeping a low profile after his endorsement of one-time presidential candidate Howard Dean back in December. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy?
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, and in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Planet Check.
Laptop lunches take a bite out of waste.
The whole thought behind our product is to get people to start packing waste-free lunches, and the trend right now is prepackaged food.
That's Tammy Pelstring, CEO of Obentech Incorporated.
On average, a child who takes a disposable lunch to school generates 67 pounds of waste. We're talking millions of pounds of waste are being generated.
Laptop lunches are inspired by the design of the Japanese bento box.
So our idea with our product is to try to get parents packing lunches again. In order to do that, we wanted to provide them with the tools to do that more conveniently and do it in a way that has style so the kids think it's fun. On the back door, preventing all that trash and plastic bags and foil and all of that from going to the landfills. Laptop lunches, tools to eat smart.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to tadmail.com, where environmentally conscious Americans get their internet access for free. Tadmail.com, helping people and the planet.
Right now it's 7 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Hallelujah. Good morning to you.
Oh, no. We're rhyming now.
Why are some Democrats giving up on the White House 6 months before the election? Plus, today's liberal agenda from Barbara Streisand. Not a suggestion. It's an order, people. And right now I've got Sue Ellicott. Now I'm screwing your name up. Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley. They've been with me for a couple of hours already. We've had a very profound, provocative, enjoyable show. We've discussed Ted Nugent, pharmaceuticals, Iraq, Bush, and Cheney. We've discussed Elvin Bishop. It's a very odd mix of things. I'm not on medicine. How you doing, Mark?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and you, Sue?
Fine. It's 2 hours, and we've survived.
We're only days away from the anniversary of the the war in Iraq being over, of Bush declaring mission accomplished. In a related story, people still dying in Iraq. So Bush is a wrong, bad, evil, liar man.
What do you think about the report today that the U.S. Marine commander is saying that they reached a deal for all the Marines to pull back out of Fallujah?
Dude, what is that? They're going to, what did they say, the Iraqi army's going to cover it? They're going to take care of it? Are these the same Iraqi army that, like, 40% of them, like, just turned and started shooting at us? Mm-hmm. So basically they're just rearming the insurgents? Go on in and you guys take care of it. And they're going to walk in and go, hey, here's some new Kalashnikovs for you.
Well, they had to do this, though. I mean, what options did they have? Basically, their choices were to try to negotiate, give some incentives to negotiate a ceasefire. And there was a fragile one this week that lasted barely 2 days. Yeah. Or they have to go in with an all-out offensive, which is what the Marines want to do. And everybody else is saying, back off, because you risk just annoying the Iraqis even further, kind of dragging in what you hope would be moderate people into the insurgency. So I don't see where else they have to go. I mean, maybe this will work.
Well, I mean, why don't they, how about, I heard someone suggest on some other show, they could cut off their food and water. They could do some, you know, a lot of things, a lot of tactics that they haven't done yet. They could smoke them out, maybe.
No, look, the Marines always want to go in fighting. That's
right.
What they do. That's
right.
Their job. That's what they were built for. So their thing is, I want to go in and level the place if we have to.
Right, but that's what's driving the Iraqis nuts.
No, I understand that.
So if they pull back, it really means that something's going down.
If they pull back, first of all, it means that in all likelihood, either cooler heads in the military or the State Department is now starting to get more heavily involved in all of this.
But they don't even know who they're fighting. You know, they said they've got some leftover Husseini guys. They've got some riffraff. They've got some pirates. They've got criminals. They've got, you know, a few. They have no idea. There's no clear leader of the insurgency. Not in unlike in Najaf, where you have the sort of breakout new bad guy in al-Sadr,
who's
really sort of capturing the hearts and minds of the evil. And there's no dude in Fallujah to really sort of, you know, pinpoint as being the guy in charge, or even to know how connected the insurgents are, or who
or the guy
are
to wipe out. Yeah,
because
they really don't have any one person, and that makes that kind of offensive that much more difficult. The problem is, does anyone seriously expect the Iraqi army to go in and disarm these people? Does that make any logical sense whatsoever to say, well, okay, you guys go into the mosques where they're holding people and they're shooting at folks off the roofs. You take the guns.
Not considering, you know, what's happened in recent days with the security forces that were trained Iraqis.
Mm.
You know, many of them sort of just go,
bailed,
you know what?
What,
you know, we got to go. You know, I know this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
it is a sign that they are kind of rolling back. It is a sign that they are kind of reassessing. They haven't said that we've made mistakes, but doing this is an admission, a tacit, if not explicit admission, that they should never have disbanded the Iraqi army and the police in the first place.
Right, because now they're up against a situation where if they keep pushing, they're going to alienate, you know, the Shiite majority in Fallujah, and if they kill al-Sadr, you know, quickly, they're going to, you know, really create some sort of more fanatical uprising. They're sort of in between Iraq and Iraq.
It is kind of it's sort of a meeting of the military and the political viewpoint, because the Marines, as Mark and I said before, that are the ones who just want to go in there hard, and there has been tension between the Marines and other branches of the military over the last couple of weeks. And they don't want that. They're saying it's too dangerous. We don't want that. You know, hold back. And then the political agenda, which for Bush is really important, that there is some kind of a handover on June 30th. And for at this point,
to anybody,
at this point, they want to try anything. I mean, they can say if this doesn't work, then perhaps they can turn around to the Iraqis and say, you know what? you guys just aren't ready for democracy, a transition to democracy, to take over your sovereignty on June 30th. We gave you a chance. We've pulled back. That's what you told us to do. You thought we'd been here too long. We haven't achieved enough. We're being too heavy-handed. So we prove to us that you guys can do it. If you can't, we will come back.
You mean they'll try anything, including diplomacy?
They're going to try it. But see, here's the potential for unintended consequences here.
Yeah.
These Marines that have been surrounding Fallujah for the last little while have been kind of on high alert. I mean, these are folks that have been shot at. These are folks who have been extremely tense for a long time. Now you're suddenly turning around and saying, well, pull back. As a matter of fact, there's a report that says that submarines have already started packing their bags because they've been ordered to move away from Fallujah. Well, what do you do with them now?
Right.
Where do they go? You've had them on this high alert for all this time. You've had all of this adrenaline pumping. And no action? So now what? What happens with them?
What about all the private security forces? What about all the contractors and mercenaries? I can't even picture in my head the chaos and insanity that's going on around this confrontation. I mean, apparently, according to my TV, it's green and dark.
Yeah.
In Iraq. I have no idea what's really happening there. But I can't even speculate as to what's going to happen in the next couple of days.
I don't know about you mentioned diplomacy before. It was a bit alarming to see Donald Rumsfeld at a Pentagon briefing earlier this week with one of the generals, and he was asked, how about diplomacy? Do you think there's a place for diplomacy at this point? And he kind of ummed and ahed for about four or five sentences, and then the guy from the military said, it's worth a try. And then Rumsfeld said, yeah, it's worth a try. It's like, we didn't think of that before. It does speak
They never to, think about that.
You know,
these
there
are
has
war
been
guys.
This big tension between the State Department and the White House, even before the war. I mean, you saw how Colin Powell was basically sidelined. I mean, he wasn't like James Baker, kind of working the airplanes, traveling every single week, trying to push diplomacy. This White House was not interested, really, in pushing diplomacy.
Of course not, because it's a sign of weakness for these type of guys. I mean, they can't see it as being positive for them. The only momentum they know is the momentum of war, and they think it's working for them. So now, coincidentally, Bush's polls are as low as they've been in a long time. They've taken another hit, and I don't know if that syncs up with this new idea of pulling back and trying to navigate this in a different way, but it seems like it could. Maybe they're thinking, people are really starting to hate this. We got to figure out a way to ease the situation for all involved.
But they need to do this, and the UN envoy, Lakhmar Brahimi, said this week, if you go in kind of heavier because more attacks on the Iraqi people, even Fallujah, even in Najaf, you risk, fanning the flames of the insurgency.
Now they're going to hate you more.
But at least they seem to be paying attention to that, and given that they have said they want to go back and work, more closely with the UN, this does seem as though it is a smart move. It does, looking as though they've backed off is the only way they have to go without driving everybody mad. We've got the British Army saying, we don't want to go in and fill the place of the Spaniards who've moved out. You've got Iraqi people kind of increasingly angry. You've got people in America showing that in polls that their support for Bush's handling of the war is going down. This does seem the only smart thing to do right now, even if it doesn't work.
Well, Brahimi has problems of his own. They've already attacked him for some statements he made about Israel. Shalabi called
him. What did he say about Israel?
He said essentially that was one of the great unspoken problems in the region and that you have to deal with that along with Iraq. And, of course.
And then Bush said, what?
No. Shalabi jumped up and called him an Algerian with an Arab nationalist agenda. Now,
Shalabi, of course, the guy who wants to run the place.
But see, in this case, Shalabi's carrying water for Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl, and that whole crew who backed him in the first place. And that's what they think about Brahimi. And he's going to have a very difficult time implementing the kind of diplomacy he wants as long as those guys are against him, because they may be out of primacy now, but they're not going to be out long.
All right, we will be back. This has been a very engaging discussion about Iraq, that's for sure. And I like the phrase carrying water. I've never heard that before. It's beautiful. Still ahead, Presidential Daily Briefing, Liberal Agenda, and me, Mark, and Sue. Stay with us on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio. It's been a long time coming.
His name was York. And when Lewis and Clark set out in 1804, he was a slave. William Clark's slave. But when he left so-called civilization, York became something altogether different. He became free. He became an elite hunter and explorer. He was revered by the Indians, and he was given the right to vote before most African Americans were given the right to speak. But York's bravest act came at trail's end when he demanded his freedom, because as Lewis and Clark returned to accolades, York returned to slavery. Some say York was eventually freed. Others say he went west, because what he found on the trail was a thing no man could ever give him. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover, because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med, and finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say, thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Okay then, Dr. Carter. Thanks a lot. I'll see you next time.
All right, Mr. Stewart. Now remember, keep taking your pills every day.
Mr. Stewart is one of my patients. He's got high blood pressure. So we talked about how that also puts him at risk for kidney disease. Kidney disease doesn't have any real warning signs. But if you have high blood pressure or diabetes, or a family member with kidney failure, you're at risk. So now Mr. Stewart gets simple testing done for kidney disease when he comes in. He's lucky and smart. Because if you don't get checked for kidney disease now, you could be on the waiting list for a kidney transplant later.
If you have diabetes or high blood pressure, or a family member with kidney failure, ask your doctor or healthcare professional to test you. For a free brochure, call toll-free 1-866-4-KIDNEY, because you have the power to prevent kidney disease. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Kidney Disease Education Program.
Believe it or not, your employer can take out a life insurance policy on you without even telling you or your family and then collect all the money for their corporation when you die.
And guess what? The Bush administration is letting its big contributors poison America's children with toxic mercury. I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
And I'm Mike Papantonio. If you want to know more, join us on our new show, Ring of Fire, this Saturday morning.
And we'll tell you how to survive toxic attacks by the big polluters.
Ring of Fire debuts this Saturday morning, right here on Air America Radio.
The news here on Air America Radio.
That's so funny. If you're just tuning in, good morning. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. And I had some weird thing this morning where I woke up and I had this song in my head for some reason. Out of nowhere, I've got this weird thing happening every morning. I wake up and I have nothing in my mind but some weird classic hit from that has no bearing on anything that happened or anything. Yesterday it was Fool Around and Fell in Love. Today it was The Nudes. I'm not proud. It's just the way it is. Right now, it is time to reveal the top secret contents of the intelligence community's presidential daily briefing, the PDB, for Thursday, April 29th at now 21 past the hour. Here we go. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that a long dormant Al Gore has reemerged. Reports that he had become a bitter, beard-growing recluse were clearly exaggerated. Gore has promised to give $6 million to various Democratic causes, posing an imminent threat to the one-party political unity this nation now enjoys. The money itself is nothing compared to the Republican resources, but the idea that some defeated presidential candidate can come back after he had been declared mission accomplished could undermine efforts to break the will of future opponents. We should not take this Gore threat lightly. Despite a maximum effort from our propaganda machine, millions may still remember voting for him 4 years ago. Millions more may even remember that he won. We suggest printing more buttons that say, "Sore Loserman" and "Get Over It," and dropping them out of planes over Florida. Our analysts believe that the final elimination of Al Gore may prove to be a long, hard slog. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Powerful stuff. Powerful. 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 I don't know where that came from, that powerful stuff. I think Ed McMahon used to say it on Johnny Carson's show. It's another thing that's percolating in my mercury-saturated brain that's now operating as some sort of antenna to the great collective zeitgeist universal unconscious machine thing. Anyways, we're going to get into this Bush-Cheney panel discussion. We're going to have David Corn from The Nation in a few minutes. I'd like to play this... who is it? McClellan, the press secretary? He is? Yes?
Scott McClellan.
Yes, Scott McClellan talking about why there is no recording necessary or needed today.
The president has been looking over some materials and documents from the time period leading up to September 11th and right around September 11th that was provided to him by his counsel's office. This is an opportunity for him to refresh his memory and make sure that he can provide the commission with a complete account of events as possible.
Okay, right now joining us from his home in suburban D.C. is David Corn. He is the Washington editor for The Nation magazine and is the author of The Lies of George W. Bush, Mastering the Politics of Deception. How are you, David?
I'm fine. I don't have to appear before any commissions today. I don't know about you.
No, I just have to be here appearing with my friends Mark and Sue. It hasn't been that.
It's the same thing. You go in with other people, just like the president. No big deal.
Does that surprise you, David?
I don't want to make too many jokes about this. You know, I've written several books of investigative journalism, and anything any investigator will tell you, I'm not talking about, like a criminal indictment or anything like that, but still, when you interview somebody, you want to have one person at one time. It makes things neater, cleaner. You don't have people talking and over each other or changing their story, maybe in even benign ways in response to what somebody else is saying.
Aren't you assuming that he's capable of answering questions by himself?
I've long gotten past the stereotype that Bush is a buffoon. I think he is able to answer most questions about the things that he did manage to think about.
But he's not a buffoon, but he has a hard time, with any eloquence whatsoever. I'm not saying he's essentially stupid, but he does have trouble with the language.
Well, that is indeed true, but we're not looking for eloquence here. We're looking for answers.
And truth, maybe?
There's some very basic questions that you don't need eloquence to answer. Like, for instance, here's an easy one. In the first 8 months of your presidency, did you ever ask anyone to do anything particularly about the terrorist threat from Al-Qaeda?
Right.
Did you ever want to do anything about the U.S. code? Did you ever have a meeting about it? After you read the PDB of August 6th, and it said there were 70 FBI investigations into Al-Qaeda domestically, here in the home, did you say,
Yeah.
And then say, get back to me on that. I want to keep up on this. Did you ever do anything like that? In July, when there was a warning given that there was going to be a spectacular attack designed to inflict massive casualties that was being planned by Al-Qaeda, and it was going to come without much warning in the weeks ahead. This is a report that came into the White House.
Right.
Did you ever have a meeting about it? Did you ever say, get back to me on this?
Can we assume they're going to ask these questions, David?
It's really hard to tell. I've been overwhelmed and underwhelmed by the commission. The questions that have been asked by the commissioners in public sessions have often been disappointing. I sit at the press table with other reporters, and we have our long list of questions we want to see answered, the obvious ones, and they don't get asked. But yet, the investigative staff, the people who are putting out these interim reports, which are wonderful, and I urge listeners to go to the website for the 9/11 Commission and read them, have obviously looked at good issues and have done good digging and have come up with some very I think powerful findings that are that point fingers accurately at the Bush administration and the Clinton administration. And so they've drafted These people have drafted long lists of questions for the panel members. And the issue is whether or not the panel members are going to, you know, read those or go off on their own tangents. So, you know, someone like Bob Kerry, who every time, you know, he's asked a few good questions, but he has this bee in his bonnet about why the U.S. did not invade Afghanistan before 9/11. And every time any witness is up there, he spends 10 minutes just sort of giving a rant on that subject. And if he does the same thing here, he'll lose a good opportunity to ask some of the other questions that need to be put to Bush and maybe even Cheney.
David, on the weapons of mass destruction issue, if we're to believe Bob Woodward's book, it was George Tenet, the CIA director, who said it was a slam dunk case that the Iraq had them. Why do you think that Tenet is still at the CIA, given that we haven't found any of these?
Well, maybe he has those pictures of George Bush from his college days. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I mean, people have asked that question. I mean, Bush is trying to have it both ways. You know, they're all running, you know, blaming Tenet now. There was a Wall Street Journal editorial yesterday saying, see, it's Tenet's fault. It's not Bush's fault. Long before that briefing, which was in December of 2002, or was it January? I forget now. But before that, Bush had already gone out publicly and had already said things about there being massive stockpiles of biological weapons and a fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles that could strike America with chemical weapons that were not true. They were not even in the intelligence that the CIA produced. So, putting this all on Tenet is really making him into a scapegoat. I mean, he did screw up big time, but still Bush had told false assertions before that meeting with Tenet. In any event, I think, you know, Tenet, you know, is, I think, a wonderful bureaucratic player here in Washington. He was there under the Clinton years. He's there for in the Bush years. No one ever seems to get too mad at him, and it caused him to sort of face accountability. You know, it could be as simple as the fact that Bush likes him, gets along with him, and the fact that Tenet renamed CIA headquarters into the George Herbert Walker Center for Intelligence.
No, they'll do it.
David Korn, Washington editor for the Nation magazine, one last question. You know, after all is said and done here, in even before today, why do people still like George Bush?
Well, you know, I think people have just, 45% of people don't like him. You know,
right.
A lot of people do like him. I think they still think he says what's on his mind. I mean, look at the way people are responding, at least in the administration, to the book. The book shows, the Woodward book, the book shows that he's often disengaged. He doesn't care about, disengaged from, like, say, the substance of matters. He doesn't go into policy details. He doesn't reflect on policies. He doesn't question his own assumptions. But, boy, he sure is decisive.
Thank you, David.
In a long fashion, but he is decisive. And people kind of think that he says what he thinks, which they don't think about John Kerry, which is really bizarre, given Kerry's, you know, long history of being passionate about a number of different causes.
Thank you very much, David. David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation magazine. Thank you for joining us.
Still ahead, who you calling a chicken hawk? Plus, you on the phones, and we expect the facts with today's liberal agenda. So stay with us here on Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. 8 more Americans have been killed in unrest in Baghdad this morning. That brings to 10 the number of Americans killed by violence in the last 12 hours in the country. White House plans to put on a full court press when it faces the 9/11 panel today. Both President Bush and Vice President Cheney will have home court advantage, offering testimony from the Oval Office without the glare of television cameras and recording equipment. It was their precondition to offering any kind of testimony before the investigative panel. The feds say Hamas and Hezbollah are in the United States. They say they've been keeping close tabs on their activities amid growing concerns of possible terrorist attacks. And the Department of Homeland Security says a preliminary analysis shows that illegal immigrants who slipped into Boston and liquefied natural gas tankers in the 1990s may have had terrorist connections. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Tremendous. Just tremendous.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We just talked to David Korn from The Nation magazine, which I used to subscribe to, but they come like every day.
Those magazines, they all do.
There's a lot of pressure, man. If you got The New Yorker coming and The Nation, you got a lot of reading to do. Good luck with that. So now I just wait till they, you know, I get the guilt mail from The Nation, then I go to the website and read what I want to read. I've been playing exclusive wiretap recordings of the Bush-Cheney meeting with the 9/11 panel throughout the day. These are extraordinary tapes that are coming to us from my guy who bootlegs things, my time-traveling ex-acid head portal going through bootleg tape guy. And he has some yet another installation, third installation of the actual Bush-Cheney panel hearings.
Okay, Mr. President, we've placed the vice president in a soundproof booth. At the end of this round, we'll see how many of your answers match his.
You are with a prize selected.
No. Mr. President, what were you doing when you were informed of the World Trade Center attacks?
Well, Senator Curie, I was reading to a grammar school class at the time.
Is it true that even after being told about the second plane, you continued to read to the class?
Well, I wanted to see how the story ended. That George is a curious little critter. I still don't know what happened to him.
All right, then. What kind of threats were you anticipating?
I can't say.
May I remind you, these hearings are confidential, Mr. President. Let me rephrase. Did you have any intelligence at all about the terrorist cells in the United States?
I had no intelligence then, and I have no intelligence now.
Well, I think that's something we can all agree on.
Wow, I think we need. What was he doing? An impression of the past five presidents all at once? It sounded like a little bit of Reagan, a little bit of Clinton, a little bit of Bush, a little bit like, and a little,
maybe even a touch of Jimmy Carter.
You know, I think their heart was in that piece, but oh man. A note to producer: hire impressionists.
Oh, Lord.
What do you got, Riley?
He thought he had. What are you talking about? Are Democrats who are privately criticizing John Kerry's presidential campaign being disloyal? We had a long conversation about this, actually, the three of us this morning.
I know, and now you're saying that the Democrats are starting to bail on him, too?
The Democrats are starting to bail on him. You saw the James Ridgway piece in The Voice yesterday.
God, it bums me out, man. Why can't they just keep this is why the Democrats fall apart. Why can't they keep it to themselves and talk to the people that might be able to get in Kerry's head as opposed to everybody and make it so it's productive and not destructive?
Well, maybe they've tried. I don't know. But certainly there have been recent published and broadcast reports that quote numbers of, and this is the important part, unnamed members of John Kerry's party, saying the campaign lacks a clear focus and a clear message. Recent polling shows that while support for the Iraq War and President Bush are both eroding, it hasn't benefited Kerry, at least not yet. Some Democratic operatives have suggested the candidate go back to the practice of using surrogates to get his message out. He may be listening if Wednesday's news conference by New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg is any indication. The World War II veteran teed off on critics of Kerry's service record. In particular, he focused on Vice President Dick Cheney.
Chicken hawks, they shriek like a hawk, but they have the backbone of a chicken. We know who the chicken hawks are. They talk tough on national defense and military issues and cast dispersion on others. When it was their turn to serve, where were they? A-W-O-L. That's where they were. And now the chicken hawks are cackling about Senator John Kerry. And the lead chicken hawk against Senator Kerry is the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Cheney. He was in Missouri this week claiming that Senator Kerry was not up to the job of protecting this nation. What nerve! Where was Dick Cheney, when that war was going on, and 58,235 young men died, and many more wounded, and many with wounds that were never visible. Cowardly, but an insult. And I plead with veterans across this country, look at what they're saying about your service.
Oh, man, you cut off too soon. He's about to say, oh, my God, I got to sit down.
Talk about sound.
Go get him, Frank.
He was going. Now, interestingly enough, in response to Lautenberg's statements, John McCain, the senator from Arizona, jumped up and said, please, can we not have all of this fighting and bickering and back and forth about, you know, Kerry's record, Cheney's record, Bush's record? Because McCain understands, because remember, he's a Republican. No matter how maverick he is, he's still a Republican.
Yeah.
He understands that in the end, Bush could well lose the battle of arguments over being in the service.
Right. And what I was going to ask you, Mark, is that you say all these guys are criticizing, all these Democrats are criticizing Kerry. Why don't they become the surrogates? Why don't they start encouraging people to get behind him and rallying behind him and getting people to register to vote and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to, you know, playing politics in their own party?
Because some of them probably want to be surrogates and haven't yet been asked.
Oh, so this is coming out of bitterness?
It could be.
The
it
bastards.
Could be like, you know, look, I got the answer, but you haven't called on me yet. So, you know, the kid who sits in the back of the class and knows the answer and has his hand up, but nobody calls
on
him.
So they're all children, okay.
Well, look, some of them, I'm sure, believe that they're making legitimate, articulating legitimate concerns within the party. The thing is, again, it's like the Yankees in April, all right? The Yankees aren't doing that well, but it's a long baseball season. And remember that the baseball season will end before this election.
Right.
So we ought to be clear about the fact. John Kerry's got plenty of time to clear up any mistakes, to sharpen his focus, sharpen his message, and maybe he doesn't want to do that too soon.
Yeah, he's building up to it. He's getting his vitamin B12 shots, he's exercising, he's, you know,
maybe Ritalin. Maybe the fact that Gore just gave his $6 million to the Democratic National Committee, which, you know, means that it can then be kind of turned over, and he can't give directly to Kerry, it's his leftover money, but it can find its way to Kerry now, and he supported Dean. Right, so there's been some kind of tension even between kind of Gore and Kerry. Maybe this is the sort of watershed that, you know, those who aren't acting as the surrogates can actually say, okay, so maybe we weren't strong enough on Kerry, and maybe even publicly or implicitly people knew that we backed another candidate. Now it's time to get organized.
I believe that I believe in my heart, really, that Kerry would be a fine president. I believe that the common mission is we really don't want to, you know, have to deal with Bush for another 4 years, because I'm not converting to Christianity. And I just...
They wouldn't have you,
Why
Mark.
Doesn't that surprise?
They're not that forgiving. I mean, they are forgiving.
I thought that was the whole idea. But
there
are
limits.
I just think that that everyone should rally behind this guy and maybe energize him like that. I mean, people can be energized if they feel supported. You dig? You know?
They can. I mean, how energized can they be? You want them all on boxes of Dunkin' Donuts coffee from now till November?
Yes, I think Dunkin' Donuts should get behind the Kerry campaign. Box of Dunkin' Donuts coffee for Kerry and everybody who likes him now.
Well, you have to remember, I just have this sort of vision of Frank Lauterbach standing up there on the Senate floor, kind of going on and on and on with this, you know, this kind of incredible passion. There are probably about 5 or 10 people actually on the Senate floor listening to this. I mean, you see these guys go on and on and on. They're performing.
But this wasn't
the
on the Senate
bites.
Floor. This was actually a press conference. He actually had...
charts.
He had charts with a chicken on it.
Yeah.
That you don't do on the Senate floor.
He had the whole presentation.
This was a presentation at a press conference.
I have reports saying that he, in a scathing speech on the Senate floor, he said he didn't think politicians should be judged by whether they had military service.
Hmm.
And that when those who didn't serve attacked the heroism of those who did, that he found that particularly offensive.
You guys got to get your story straight.
Yeah, I got to find out about that, because I thought it was...
I think... did you notice how empty the sound was? I mean, there was kind of no clapping, there were kind of no murmurs of approval.
Well, I think they were quiet, but sometimes there's nobody there, but a lot of times they've got a pretty good house. It all depends on who the headliner is.
I think he was in the Senate. I mean, maybe he's just... these are like one of those trial balloon things, and they try stuff out in the Senate, and this is how it works. So there's a catchy soundbite, the lead chicken hawk, which, you know, we've picked up and other people will notice that. Yeah. So it gets onto CNN.com on Inside Politics and other people pick it up. They go, hey, good phrase, that worked. And then when they do get out into the public in press conferences or in their home state or beyond that,
yeah,
they know that this kind of idea, if it catches the media's attention, then they know to roll it out further. This could be the beginning of a much more vociferous campaign.
You were right,
Frank Luttenberg.
It was on the Senate floor.
So you're saying the Senate is sort of like an open mic night for people,
but without an audience.
We're trying to work out slogans. Well, that's what open mic is usually. There's usually 10 or 13 people, and
without the beers.
Three of them are friends of the comics. No, I think that there's some beer being had.
Yes,
in the
trial balloon time for Lee Chicken Hawks.
Still ahead, the liberal agenda. Plus, why are Democrats eating themselves and giving up 6 months before the election? What's your theory? Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio. Please, let us know if we're talking too fast.
Some mothers and daughters bond. Others are crazy glued. And now there's a new play about mothers and daughters that'll bring you to tears of laughter from door to door. The Daily News Raids from door to door is hilarious and deeply moving. It weaves the stories of three generations of Jewish women together with great artfulness. From door to door is a funny and heartfelt play that stirs up 65 years of family secrets and surprises. From the Cossacks to Ellis Island, from overmothering to single parenting. The Journal News calls from door to door a sweet play that glows with love and timeless values. It's beautifully performed, cheers the New York Post. And the Star Ledger applauds. It's like plunging into a bowl of your grandma's chicken noodle soup. See From Door to Door by James Sherman, directed by Joe Brancato at the West Side Theater. Call telecharge.com 212-239-6200. WOR's Joan Hamburg says you'll enjoy it from door to door.
Planet check.
They shoot sea lions, don't they?
Chippy, the wayward sea lion, was found in the Central Valley near Los Banos by California Highway Patrol officers who, appropriately enough, dubbed him Chippy.
That's Jim Oswald from the Marine Mammal Center in Sausalito, California. Veterinarians found a large caliber bullet lodged in soft tissue behind his skull.
We see a lot of these patients come in with gunshot wounds, over 8% of them. And it's a really sad fact that humans can be so cruel to sea mammals.
Chip, chip, hooray! He's okay.
They went ahead about a week or so later and removed that bullet, and Chippy fared quite well.
With the clean bill of health, Chippy was released at Point Reyes National Seashore along with a tracking device.
It's about a 5-inch diameter square with an antenna. It's attached to Chippy's hair coat. The tracking device is going to be good for about 3 to 6 months or whenever Chippy actually molts.
Last year, the center treated 41 sea lions with bullet wounds. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Circle of Life and We the Planet. www.circleoflife.org, where consciousness is cool.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I am so tired of the intellectual dishonesty in the media today from both sides.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
The conservatives don't offer gay people anything. Why don't the conservatives promote gay marriage so that they can promote their abstinence program?
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
Okay, don't marry us, but let us not pay taxes. I mean, let's negotiate.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Wow, this is the best Thursday I've had all week. Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We want to know why you think some Democrats are already crying defeat 6 months before the election. But more importantly than that, I want to hear some support. I want to hear some people talking about Kerry in a positive way, because this is the guy. You know, there is no other guy, and I don't care what James Ridgway says. You can't just ditch the guy midway, you know, because you feel like you might lose. All right? This guy can win. He's a fighter. It's going to come out. I want to hear some support. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270. Sedition at airamericaradio.com. What's up, Mark?
Well, before we go to the phones, I should remind people who are listening to us in New York that when Hillary Clinton ran for the United States Senate, there were bunches of people within her own party who criticized her campaign in exactly the same way. She's not doing this. She's not doing that. She put her foot in it. She said this. She said that. And in November, she creamed the guy who most people don't even remember his name anymore, who she ran against.
What was his name?
Rick Lazio.
Right. Hey, we're going to talk. What just happened to her? Oh, okay. Frank in Westchester. Frank.
I want to know how come Bush and Cheney don't have to take the oath in this 9/11 hearing. Is it because they're afraid that they're the third-degree burns when the Bible bursts into flames?
That's exactly the reason, Frank. Thank you for your call. Exactly the reason. George, how are you, George?
Yeah, hi, good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I love this show, huh?
I love you too, man. What's going on?
I believe Al Gore is sending a message to the party.
Yes.
Being someone who supports Howard Dean, and then just out of that, now that we have one person being presidential candidate, he's come back to support him with this amount of money.
Very good,
that's
very good.
Supporting him with his whole heart. So this is the time that the party has to come together and rally behind, sending a message to the people. It's no longer the work of only Kerry.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Thank you for calling. That was a very generous gift on behalf of Gore and his people, and I think that he's absolutely right. We do have to come together. How about Mike in Staten Island? What's going on?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm all right.
I've been voting as Liberal Democrats since 1973 when I turned 18.
Right on.
I think this president's out of control.
Yes.
He should be charged with treason.
Yes.
He should be brought up on impeachment. But I still got my orange sticker on my back of my car to put up with a lot of abuse on stuff now. I'm being a Liberal Democrat.
I bet you do. Right? Watch your back.
But, you know, I always thought, but I've been an environmentalist for a number of years. I did a lot of environmental projects on Staten Island. You constantly had to fight Republicans who control Staten Island.
So you think Kerry's our guy? We got to get behind him, right, man?
We don't have a choice. He's the guy now. You got to get behind him. They got to stop the squabbling because they're going to shoot themselves in the foot.
I think you're absolutely right, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, but what's the treason thing?
What's the treason thing? We lost him. He's gone. I'm sorry. I didn't. We didn't.
The T word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Andrew. I mean, treason. That sounds incredibly old fashioned. I mean, that's like a 15th century in Britain thing. I mean, treason. That's pretty dramatic.
Yeah. No, they accused Ashcroft was accusing everybody of treason. He was accusing anybody who said anything against Bush of treason. Andrew, are you there, Andrew? Yes.
I'm calling in support of John Kerry. I think, you know, he has a real strong record. I think his problem right now basically is, you know, a matter of money and conserving his funds until the time really counts. The Republican Party obviously has a lot more money to spend to get their message across right now.
Right, but he's the guy, right? He's got the juice.
I have no question. I mean, it's, you know, even when it comes to all these issues of his record in Vietnam, to his record on the environment.
It's a good record.
On social, it's an excellent record. You know, the Republican Party is trying to misrepresent him on so many fronts. You know, it's really frustrating, but I guess right now, you know, based on, you know, the funds we have, we just got to sit tight.
That's because those guys are, they're shameless bastards.
Yeah. The only thing I would like Kerry to speak about, and this is actually, I mean, I think Air America is great, but the only thing I have a comment on is, you know, in terms of the Middle East process, I see a lot of talking about the soldiers of Iraq, but really when it comes down to it, the whole issue that is at the front of this is the Palestinian-Israeli issue, which I wish Air America would be a little more kind of out in front in terms about what's going on in that region, because really that's the heart of what's really going on in the Middle East.
Well, thanks a lot, Andrew. Thanks for your call. And I think, you know, we don't talk about that a lot because, you know, in our show we deal mostly with the news of the day, but it was certainly something that does need to be addressed.
That's the same thing that Brahimi said, by the way.
So you think he's a surrogate for Brahimi?
He could be.
No, but there is concern over the Bush administration of sticking with Ariel Sharon, and the same thing with Tony Blair,
right,
is that by aligning themselves very close obviously what Sharon wants to do with the settlements and the territory in Israel is it plays right into the hands of Palestinians and kind of Arab resentment and the insurgency movement. So that has been a part of the Iraq stuff.
It adds to the manufacturing of
terrorism.
But it's
so complicated and messy, and that, you know, I think people find it kind of very hard to get their heads around the whole kind of Israeli peace issue.
Exactly. Rich in Chicago. How are you, Rich?
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Sue, Mark.
Hey.
I'm in Chicago, and you guys are going off the air May 1st here.
We'll be back, dude. We'll be back.
I hope so. Okay. But here's my thoughts on this whole Bush-Kerry thing. If we just let the events of the day play out and get the word out to people what's really happening, this whole Bush thing is going to unravel. And as far as the Republicans having way more money to brainwash the people, that's true. So we got to wait until we see the whites of their eyes.
Thank you very much. Good idea. I think he's right. Call us, 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We've got Adam in New Jersey. What's on your mind, Adam?
Hello?
Yes,
hey.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys for getting at least a tiny pinch of truth out to the American public, because it's very disconcerting having a little bit of intelligence or a little bit of education and watching what the American public basically buys on a regular basis.
Agreed.
So I wanted to thank you for that. And I heard a very interesting piece of information on the Carlyle Group, and it's always been my opinion that 1,000% of what this Republican administration is doing is financially motivated.
Absolutely.
And I really am curious and almost dumbfounded why the Democratic Party is just unable or unwilling to point out what's brutally obvious to people like me, and that almost leads us to the next question is, are they complicit in what's going on?
Thank you very much for your call. The Carlyle Group, if you don't know, is a group of private investors comprised of, ex-world leaders, John Major, Jim Baker, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, George Sr. The Bin Laden family was involved with it, and they are a private investing, I guess, firm.
Big construction companies.
Construction companies, but they do everything. They're involved in airline, airport food, oil construction. It's a general investment firm that was a very...
Pretty much built Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And they want to rule the world.
They do. They might. Andy in Queens, what's going on? That's my home borough.
Hi,
Queens, how are you? Good.
Yeah, I'm Regal Park. My name's Andy. My subject is really very similar to the previous Andy's. Maybe from your point of view, it's a little more negative, and that is, I think, not only you're not covering Israel-Palestine enough, but I was very discouraged, personally, to hear John Kerry essentially totally ratify the Sharon policy, which then Bush, going against his own policy, endorsed, and Kerry was strictly behind it. Remember, so I believe was Howard Dean. I think people do have to have a better understanding of what's going on in the Middle East, and to say it's complex, and therefore let's not deal with it.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, we should probably engage some guests and try and figure out, you know, how to get this topic, because it seems that it really is at the core of a lot of the, you know, global issues in terms of, you know, war and, you know, I guess, you know, greater.
Well, remember that this administration, and particularly the neocons in this administration, have always had Israel and Israel's security as their reason for doing much of what they've done.
But so many people really are uncomfortable and despise the position of Israel in relation to the Palestinians. You know, and it's weird, as a person who grew up with this, mm-hmm. you know, who grew up in a Jewish community, I mean, if you're a Jew, you know, and I'm not even a religious Jew, but if you speak in the language of two states or with any sympathy for the Palestinians, you are sort of like ostracized and looked at strangely, and it's very touchy to the point where people, almost everybody is afraid to talk about it. I think we should engage about it more.
It's complicated because it cuts across party lines. I mean, Jews in America are huge donors to the Democrats and the Republicans.
It's shifted.
So whoever,
it's a lot of it shifted.
Whoever wants to be president in this country has to kind of play to that big group.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to have a Middle East theme show.
Hey, I'll just ask Mark Riley one thing. You have an in with the Bin Laden family? They told you they want to rule the world?
Oh, absolutely.
Phil, quickly, in Staten Island. Phil.
To remember the financial aspects of this election.
Yes, sir.
In that
from 1980 to 84, when Reagan ballooned the deficit, they said, we'll grow our way out. Well, what happened was, we didn't grow our way out. They raised taxes on ordinary people. They cut tax on the top 1%, and then now you pay tax on Social Security benefits that you already pay when you pay it in. So you got double taxation on the bottom quarter of the population. And the real reason the Republicans give Democrats a hard time is because they want that huge, that $1 trillion tax cut.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much, Phil. That's a good point. The trickle-down just turned into this large vacuum. For the poor. Yeah.
But you know, unless someone comes to the Democratic Party and say, look, we, you know, we're happy, we're willing to pay more taxes. I mean, who is going to convince anybody to say, you know, we're not paying enough. We'd like to pay more.
Right, exactly. You should pay taxes.
End selfishness. Pay more.
George Doris
said that. Responsibility, right?
Yeah.
There's our facts from the Streisand compound. It's the liberal agenda for today. Get your notebooks and pens, and here are your marching orders. 1. Write a letter to the editor about the need for positive female role models in violent video games. 2. Education reform. Insist that by 3rd grade, all students must be able to read well enough to understand gay porn.
Oh, Lord.
3. Support ban on guns for cops. 4. Demand paid medical leave to get a tongue piercing. 5. Lobby City Hall for multilingual ballot. English, Spanish, Chinese, and hip-hop. That's our marching orders for today, liberal soldiers. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening. Fight the good fight.
Am I missing out by not being able to picture gay porn?
You can't picture gay porn?
Well,
I
haven't seen it.
What, I mean, just no, use your imagination.
Know,
okay, here.
The same person didn't know what poontang was.
I just see being on this show with you guys as an education, something that I've delayed far too long in the essentials of life.
Okay, my heart was in my mouth because I thought she was going to say something about us and gay porn.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
happen.
You put your heart back in your mouth. I'll save that for tomorrow.
Coming up tomorrow on Air America Radio, we're going to try our best to pry some leaks from today's 9/11 meeting. And we'll talk to a former diplomat who made headlines when he quit his post to protest the war in Iraq. That's tomorrow's morning's edition, right here, only on Air America Radio.
Happy Thursday.
Hallelujah.
Boontang to you.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Are people stealing parking spaces? Literally stealing them to cheat you out of parking? Eyewitness News exposes the sneakiest parking trick yet. Plus at 6 o'clock, Eyewitness News catches hospitals breaking the law, possibly putting you at risk.
You go into a hospital, it's not supposed to be dangerous to your health.
An Eyewitness News investigation you can't miss. It all starts with Diana Williams and Sade Veteranois. Today at 5 on Eyewitness News, only on ABC 7.
An all-new Oprah. Her first interview as First Lady, Maria Shriver.
I had been in the political life. I was like, I'm going to find me a man who is never going to run. And whammo, I'm right back where I started.
What has been the biggest difference?
Well, the biggest difference is I lost my job.
What's the real story? Did you quit? What happened?
My friend, Maria Shriver. What a hoot. Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel from Unfiltered on Air America Radio, where we promise you news and opinions you will not hear anywhere else, including on the rest of the network. It's unfiltered at airamericaradio.com. That's our email address. We always love to hear from you. I'll be back in just a second with Chuck.